सर्वमेतच्च भगवन् पृच्छतो मेऽनुपूर्वशः तत्त्वतोऽर्हस्युदाह उदाहर्तुं प्रपन्नाय
महामुने. Kindly satisfy my inquisitiveness in all that I have inquired from you and all that I may have not inquired from you. From the very beginning in my questions, since I am a soul surrender to you, please impart full knowledge in this connection.
So, Brahmaji is continuing. So, the spiritual master is always prepared to, not Brahmaji, this is Parikshit Maharaj is continuing his questions. So, the spiritual master is always prepared to impart knowledge to the disciple, and specifically when the disciple is very inquisitive. Here, Parikshit Maharaj is expressing his inquisitiveness. Sarvam etat cha bhagavan prichyato me anupurvashah. So, I have inquired from you some topics. And tattvato arhasi udahartum. So you should explain all these things to me according to the tattva, as per the truth. So prapannaya mahamune, because I am surrendered. So all that I have inquired from you from the very beginning of my questions, you should answer. So, inquisitiveness on the part of disciple is a great necessity for progressive disciple. So, one should have relevant inquiries with a proper attitude to learn and imbibe them. So, it should not be absurd inquiries which are not related to Krishna or directly related to the subject matter. So just one. Hare Krishna. So we were discussing how these questions have to be relevant and inquisitive, with an attitude to work on them, understand them, assimilate them, and imbibe them. Right? Not just some intellectual titillations or just to equip oneself with some information. I have to be updated. What you will be doing with that update, God knows. So, I have some classmates in the college who read Bhagavad Gita several times, but they continue to eat meat, they continue to do all kinds of things. And once when I asked him, one of my friends, his name is Nageshwar Rao, I asked him, "Do you read Bhagavad Gita also?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Yes." "Oh, then how come you are eating meat and watching movies and doing so many other things?" I was like in the beginning days. Then he said, "Yeah, that is, life will continue. This is just where some information of philosophy, like that. You need to be updated about everything." He's like quite honest about what he is doing. He has a very big book, Gita Praska. So, inquisitiveness on the part of a disciple is greatly necessary for the progressive disciple. So, Parikshit is a typical disciple because he is perfectly inquisitive. If one is not very inquisitive about self-realization, one need not approach a spiritual master simply to make a show of discipleship. Okay, next. Factually, it is not possible for a man to inquire about everything from spiritual master, but the bona fide spiritual master is able to enlighten the disciple in every way for the disciple's benefit. Atra pramanam hi bhagavan parameshti yathatmat bhuhu aparechanutishthanti purvesham purvajaih kritam.
O great sage, you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. Others follow custom only, as followed by the previous philosophical speculators.
He says you are as good as Brahma, the original living being. So it may be argued that Sukadeva Goswami is not the only authority of perfect knowledge in transcendence. So contemporary to Vyasadeva or even prior to him, there were so many other sages like Gautama, Kanada, Jaimini, Kapila, Ashtavakra. So all of them presented this philosophy. Patanjali also. So, but what is speciality of Sukadeva Goswami? So the difference between the six philosophical paths put forward by the renowned sages and that of Sukadeva Goswami is that all the six sages mentioned above speak the facts according to their own thinking. But Sukadeva Goswami is as good as Brahma. That means he is presenting things as Brahmaji has presented. So when someone is presenting the philosophy as he has learned from the previous acharyas, then he is representing the acharyas and he is as good as the acharya whom he is representing, because he is not speaking any concocted thing on his own. He is just representing. So such a person is as good as the predecessor because of his honesty and loyalty towards the lineage. So if that honesty and loyalty is not there, and if he has a tendency to concoct, he cannot be a bona fide representative. So Vedic transcendental knowledge descends directly from the personality of Godhead. By his mercy, Brahmaji is updated, then Narada Muni is enlightened, then Vyasadeva is enlightened, then Sukadeva Goswami. So Prabhupada used the whole parampara there. So no one can be independent except Narayana. Therefore, no one's knowledge can be perfect, for everyone's knowledge is dependent on the flickering mind. So when someone is presenting the knowledge of Supreme Lord as it is, then like his words are as good as Narayana's words. And if he also has the realization of it, that's wonderful. However, like there are different ways of presenting. Whether you understand it or not, there is potency when you repeat as it is. However, if you also have understanding and realization of what you are speaking, that's even more great. But what is not recommended is, if someone keeps aside the authoritative sources and then concocts on his own, then that cannot carry any potency. Sometimes one may, a small child also may recite this, Name Savaha Parayanti Brahman Anashanadami. So like that he keeps reciting the Bhagavatam verses. Yeah, that recitation is also very sweet and bona fide, although he may not have sufficient understanding. Even we also are discussing this, we don't have sufficient understanding of this. There can be more understanding than what we understand now. After 10 years, we'll understand the same verse in a deeper way. But does it mean that what we are discussing now is not valid? We have to wait for 10 years to discuss? Oh, after 10 years only, we'll understand it better. Let me discuss. Let me start them. Then after 20 years, you'll understand it better. That doesn't mean you have to perpetually wait for the rest of eternity to discuss Bhagavatam. Whatever may be your understanding and whatever you have heard, you can definitely repeat. That is yathamati yathashrutam, according to one's capacity, that way. But one should make sure that he is discussing based on the bona fide explanations of the philosophy given by acharyas and mentioned in the scriptures. Nameshavah parayanti brahman anashanadami pivatochyuta piyusham tadvakyabdhi vinishritam.
O learned Brahman, because of my drinking the nectar of the message of the infallible personality of Godhead, which is flowing down from the ocean of your speeches, I don't feel any sort of exertion due to my fasting.
So don't worry that I am fasting. He is saying that in the beginning. So now the discussion began just in the second canto, first canto, last chapter. Parikshit asked some question and Sukadeva Goswami started speaking. So he says, you may be concerned that I am hungry or thirsty or tired or exhausted. So just don't worry about that. I am ready to hear. He is saying this. And even in the 10th canto also, towards the end of Bhagavatam, even in 10th canto also, somewhere in the beginning, he Parikshit Maharaj ensures that Sukadeva Goswami is not having any feelings that I am tired. I can continue hearing. So, name shavah parayanti. Because one may tolerate the urge to eat, but it's very difficult to tolerate the urge to drink. So, Parikshit Maharaj is neither eating nor drinking. He could tolerate both of them. So, pibato achyuta piyusham. Because I am drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha, I don't have to drink water. I can sustain on this. We may not be on that level. It's so difficult to do one day Nirjala Ekadasi in the entire 1 year. And according to the health patterns of Kali Yuga, some people are told you should not do fasting at all. You cannot do so, certainly not Nirjala. So your vast Saturday Nirjala day, you remember? So like that. But because pibato achyuta piyusham tad vakya abdhi vinishritam. Vakya abdhi is the ocean of speech. So because I am hearing about Krishna and the narrations of the Supreme Lord, which are nectarian, are flowing from the ocean of your speeches, I don't feel any exhaustion because of my fasting. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Don't bother about these considerations. The disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, Vyasa and Sukadeva Goswami is particularly different from others. One can indulge in hearing the mental speculators, but such hearing cannot endure for any length of time. One will be exhausted very soon from hearing. And no one in the world can be satisfied simply by hearing such useless speculations. The message of the Lord, especially from a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, can never be tiring, even though one may be exhausted from other causes. So, one will not be physically exhausted if one hears Krishna Katha. Second, one will not be bored with the subject matter also. That needs some purity of the heart. It may not happen overnight to anyone and everyone. That needs purity. So, Sukadeva Goswami is so renounced, and Parikshit Maharaj is also renounced. Because of the background of that renunciation and detachment and no other agenda in life apart from hearing Krishna Katha. So, he can say, I need not hear, I need not drink or I need not eat, I can continue to hear. So, he can say that. But one who is not on that level of renunciation, one who is not on the level of having taste for Krishna Katha, he finds it very difficult to sit for long hours. So many days. So it all depends on how much one is aloof from material contamination. So day by day we need to increase our capacity to hear Krishna Katha and study Srimad Bhagavatam and render service to Krishna and then take darshan of Krishna's deities like that. We need to increase our capacity. Some people will become restless. They may stand in front of the deities and then after 1 minute they are out. Right? Some people will say 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour they can stay and then see, take darshan. Some people will offer prayers. Some people will open the book and then after 5 minutes they become too restless. Kya chal rahi hai? Then they start taking up mobile and then doing things and talking to people. He may talk to people about different subject matters for 1 hour, but 10 minutes, if he studies the book, he will become restless. Getting right? So these are all dependent on one's ability to focus on Krishna Katha for a longer time. Different people have different abilities. So as sadhakas, we need to increase our ability to nourish oneself with Krishna conscious vibrations as much as possible. One's ability to chant should increase more. One's ability to ability and interest to study Bhagavatam and to worship the deities or to do core services, that should increase more. One should not be bored. Activity is done. Let me just shift to some other activity. So one can indulge. Prabhupada writes, the message of the Lord, especially from a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, can never be tiring, even though one may be exhausted from other causes. It can never be tiring. Sometimes you see, you are tired, but still you want to continue to do that activity. Your stomach is full, still you want to eat more. Sometimes it happens like that when the item is very sweet. This is an example that everyone can relate to. You are being served gulab jamun, so your tongue is saying, your stomach is saying that no more, no more, but your mind says, take more, take more. So that experience Sukadeva Goswami is giving to Parikshit Maharaj now. Although he is fasting, still he says that, don't worry that I am fasting, I can take more, no problem. Like that. That is Achyuta Katha. Parikshit was not at all afraid of death, for he was fully encouraged by the message of the Lord. If one is encouraged by the message of the Lord, then the fear of death will disappear. What to speak of other simple fears within this material existence? If the fear of death itself is gone, what to speak of fear of something else? So, one who is fully absorbed in Achyuta Katha can never be afraid of anything in this world. Now, Suta Goswami says, Suta Uvacha Sa Upamantrito Rajnam Kathayam Iti Satpatehe Brahmarato Brisham Prito Vishnuratena Samsadi.
Suta Goswami said, thus, Sukadeva Goswami, being invited by Maharaj Parikshit to speak on the topics of Lord Sri Krishna with the devotees, was very much pleased.
So, Sukadeva Goswami is very pleased with the eagerness and enthusiasm of Parikshit Maharaj. So, Brahmarata. Brahmarata is our Sukadeva Goswami. Vishnurata is Parikshit Maharaj. Two things. So, Srimad Bhagavatam can be legitimately discussed only among the devotees of the Lord. As Gita was authoritatively discussed between Krishna and Arjun, Bhagavatam, which is the postgraduate study of Gita, can also be discussed between the scholars and devotees, like Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit, when he expressed his eagerness, Sukadeva Goswami is so pleased. So Prabhupada also says, Shankaracharya did not touch this Bhagavatam to give any of his kind of commentary. So Sukadeva Goswami was protected by Lord Krishna. So, and therefore he is known as Brahmarata. So Brahma is not Brahmaji. So Parikshit Maharaj is protected by Vishnu, he is called Vishnurata. So we welcome our Simon Prabhu. He was in Vidyapeeth last year. Now he is in Germany, right? So now again he came back to be with us for 2 weeks vacation. 29th verse. Yadyat Parikshit Rishabhah. Sorry. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate.
He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit by saying that the science of the personality of Godhead was spoken first by the Lord Himself to Brahma when He was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary Vedic literature and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas.
So Sukadeva Goswami started replying to the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. What is the answer? to his questions the subject matter of Bhagavatam. So it is the science of the personality of Godhead. The impersonalist always tries to misrepresent the personal feature of the Lord, not knowing the science of this great knowledge. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami, and to learn this science, one should take shelter of the representative of Sukadeva Goswami and follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj without foolishly attempting to interpret and thereby commit offense. Interpretation means offense. Last verse. Yadyat Parikshit Drishabhah Pandunam Anupruchhati Anupurvyena Tat Sarvam Akhyatum Upachakrame.
He also prepared himself to reply to all that King Parikshit had inquired from him. Maharaj Parikshit was the best in the dynasty of the Pandus, and thus he was able to ask the right questions from the right person.
So he asked relevant questions from the right source. So one may have a very important question, relevant question for the advancement in spiritual life, but if he goes and asks some cheater, then it's not effective. Or one may have a very bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord and Sukadeva Goswami, but if he goes and asks him a stupid question, like he will say, like, how to repair this mobile phone? He will go and ask one sannyasi. Is that the question to ask? He can ask about Krishna, he can ask about the soul, like that. So a combination of a perfect enquiry from a perfect person will make the question and the process of enquiry very effective. Otherwise, it's not very effective. So, Parikshit asked many questions very curiously. Now, Sukadeva Goswami will reply to all those questions one by one. Chapter 9, text 1.
When did it happen that when Sukadeva Goswami was inside the room of his mother and Krishna,
so Prabhupada quoted this Brahma Vivarta Purana, right? Why Brahma Vivarta Purana? We need to see the actual pastime that happened. And so now, as of now, we can trust that Brahma Rata is Sukadeva Goswami, and definitely he was attached to impersonal conception, and then this Vyasadeva called him, and then he inspired some of his disciples to go and speak the qualities of Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam verses in front of Sukadeva Goswami, and then Sukadeva Goswami got attracted to the personal conception of the Lord. Right? Definitely that is protection. Protected by Brahma. Vishnu Radha is protected by Vishnu. So here Brahma is Vishnu only. Brahma is Krishna only. Brahma Radha is basically protected by Lord Krishna.
Vishnu Ratha,
correct. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Atma Mayamrite Rajan Parasyanu Bhavatmanaha Nagate Tartha Sambandha Svapna Drashtur Ivanjasa.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working.
So what was the first question asked by Parikshit Maharaj in 2.8?
Jiva's body is question.
How can the spirit soul attain a material body? What is this connection? He answers that in this verse. Atma maya mrite rajan parasyanu bhavatmanaha. So here Atma, first Atma refers to the Supreme Lord. Atma Maya Rite Rajan. So without the influence of this Atma Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, So sufferings will not be there. So parasya refers to the pure soul. Anubhavatmanaha. So na ghateta artha sambandha swapna drashtur evanjasa. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body. So here Sukadeva Goswami simply says that actually there is no relationship between the living entity and the material body. That relationship is established by maya, illusory energy. Otherwise a spirit soul cannot be contaminated, cannot be related with the material body. Just like your golden ring falls into gutter. We were discussing this example sometime back. There is actually no relation between gutter and gold. Right? So some sewage, what's flowing in sewage and gold, what is the actual relation? But somehow, unfortunately, that ring fell there. So relationship got established. So if one picks up that gold from that abominable place and then washes it nicely and then again it shines. So that's the whole process. Devotional service. That is like picking up the soul which is entrapped in this material body, unfortunately. Picking up and placing the soul at the lotus feet of Krishna. So actually there is no relationship. So somehow by chance, by mistake, by some arrangement, it just came down, fell down. So it is unreal. How unreal it is? One example is given. Svapna drashtur ivanjasa. So a dreamer, so he will sleep and then he will dream and he would become a king in the dream, or he would be chased by a tiger in the dream, or his head would be cut off in the dream. So Virudhara also asks a similar question to Maitreya in the third canto, and Maitreya answers. So the sufferings of the living entity in the material body are like seeing one's head cut off. If your head is cut off, can you see yourself? No, but you can do that if it is a dream. Only in a dream one can see one's head being cut off. Similarly, only in a dreamy situation like the material world, the living entity suffers in the material body. Otherwise, there is no connection between material body and the spirit soul. So just like the suffering of seeing one's head cut off in a dream, how unsubstantial it is. Similarly, the sufferings of the materialistic living entity in this world are also so insubstantial. They have no reality in the ultimate sense. The soul is aloof. So now the gutter is just flowing like this from this canal to that canal, this manhole to that manhole. The sewage is traveling. Along with that travel, your gold ring is also traveling here and there. Into this one manhole to that manhole, this stool to that stool, like that, it's going. So, but the gold, the effect of gold is not changed. The quality of gold is not changed. Similarly, the soul's nature of Satchidananda will not be changed. It will remain the same. But only thing is that gold has to be picked up from that gutter and Suez canal and washed nicely. That's what. The soul is never contaminated by matter, but somehow it is entrapped in the matter. We need to pick that up and wash it nicely by the process of hearing and chanting and serving Krishna and worshipping Krishna. Then again we are back. That is Svatejasa. Right? So one will shine in one's own glory, one's original glory, one's constitutional position, if he follows the process of devotional service. Okay. So there is no relationship that exists between the dreamer and the dream body, except through ignorance. So this ignorance, or maya, or false ego, so this is the bridge between matter and spirit. The connection between matter and spirit is actually established by maya or ignorance or false ego of the living entity. You have seen the creation chart. How are the all material elements manifesting? Through false ego only. False ego in three different modes is giving rise to 23 elements, and these 23 elements combined to form the material universe and all the material bodies. Is it not? So false ego is the root cause. So if one only starts giving up one's false ego and starts identifying himself with the true ego of being the servant of the Lord, then there's no suffering because of material body. That's what Sukadeva Goswami explains in this verse. Answer to the first verse is clear. In one line, answer is, the relationship between the material body and spirit soul is established only by maya or because of the misidentification of the living entity with that material body. As soon as I start identifying myself with this body, there is suffering because of the material body. If there is no bodily identification, there is no suffering. One can remain aloof. Yes.
If material life is dream, just like dream, whatever spiritual activities we are doing in material life, that is also dream. And what is the value of a dream?
That cannot be dream. That is trying to come out of the dreamy situation. Somebody is sleeping and then dreaming. And someone is waking up, waking him up. Get up, get up. Still he is in the dreamy situation. Out. So that endeavor to get up is your endeavor to do sadhana.
Waking up.
For a regular person, waking up may take 1 minute or 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. Someone is too sleepy, alarm buzzed. He may take snooze. He may take 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get up in the morning. And for a soul who is entrapped in material existence, for him to get up to his original constitutional position, it may take a lifetime or lifetimes. It's like that. Just scale it up. He may take 5 minutes to get up in the morning to come out of the dreamy situation. Early morning, very nice dream, 3:30. And someone will wake you up. Snooze. Then it will go 3:40, then 3:50, 4 o'clock, take 4 o'clock, attendance, like that. So the spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of life. But he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy. He is distinct, but he is absorbed. You see, the gold is distinct from the sewage, but it is dropped into that sewage. Wherever the sewage is taking the golden ring, it's going along with it. Going. So someone has to come and pick it up. Wash it very cleanly with soap, Rinse Supreme or Surf Excel or whatever you may use. Nicely wash it and polish it, and then it shines like anything. The king or queen can wear it. Okay. So all the living entities' consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. That is, mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. And why does he influence like that? Because the living entity wanted it. He wanted to forget the Lord. So Lord said, okay, fine, you can forget me, no problem. Super soul, what does he do? He reciprocates with your desires. So if someone wants to eat so much meat, every day he is eating meat only, 3 times in a day. Fish, meat and non-veg, so much of that. Then Lord said, oh, he has so much desire to eat. Let him get a tiger body or a lion body or some other jackal body so that he can relish only meat. No shakahar at all in his menu. Only meat. So Krishna will give that opportunity. Someone wants to nanga ghumne ka adate. Someone wants to just, he's not very interested in wearing clothes, he or she, whatever. Then Lord will say, oh, fine, you are not so interested in wearing clothes, you can become a tree. So like that. So Krishna will never, if he wants, he can transform the entire cosmic manifestation into pure devotees within a second. But he doesn't do it because he doesn't want forced love. Forced love he doesn't want. If you voluntarily, Krishna creates you and then gives you an independence, minute independence. And if you by yourself voluntarily utilize your minute independence to love Krishna and serve Krishna, that love and that service is very tasty for Krishna. He relishes it. He wants to accept it. He is eager for it. But if one is forced to love him, forced to serve him, hypnotized or programmed to serve him, Krishna cannot relish that kind of service. If there is no voluntary spirit in service, that service is not very relishable. Krishna, if you yourself cannot accept it, if Sivarat is giving you water, when you are asking for it, it's a neglectful attitude. So if he's just giving you in that kind of indifferent way, you don't feel like drinking that water only, right? If you can't accept forced service, how do you expect Krishna to accept forced service? So that is the message. That's why Krishna doesn't want us to, want to force us. So if the living entity wants to forget, Krishna says, okay, you can forget. All the living entities, consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. In that sense, it is influenced. It is sanctioned by the Lord. Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord. Right? So like a person who thinks of himself becoming a king without possessing necessary qualifications, the living entity also desires to become the Lord himself. Oh, I myself want to become the Lord. The first sinful will of the living entity is to become like the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that living entity forgets his factual life. So just like a child will ask his mother, I want the moon, I want the moon, I want the moon. So what will the mother do? Intelligent mother. Mirror or water body. So the mother will bring a mirror and shows the reflection of the moon in the mirror and says the child, you take it. And child will become happy. So now similarly, the living entity also wants to enjoy like Krishna, but he has no capability to enjoy like Krishna. So what does the Lord do? Okay, enjoy like me, become a king, become a master, become a proprietor, become a controller in the material world. So living entity is in the material world. So a small child would trouble the mother, I don't want to eat the food cooked by you, I want to cook it myself. Then what does the mother do? Will the mother allow him into the kitchen where there is a gas stove and a knife and the vegetables and so many things are there? Mother would not allow. What does the mother do? Mother will give him the toys. Toy utensils, toy stove, toy cylinder, toy knife, toy vegetables also. And he will start cooking. He will cut carrot, all the toys only. it's made of wax or plastic or something like that. He will put choke. He'll put ghee, all that he will do. It's all imitation only. Children will start cooking like that. And after playing for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, after some time they'll come to the mother and say, mother, I'm hungry. So what does the mother do? Mother says, you have cooked so much, why don't you eat it? Then the child will realize, whatever I have cooked is not worth eating. Whatever you are feeding me is worth eating. What I have cooked is useless. It's all imitation cooking. It's not real cooking. So mother is waiting for the child to realize this and come and eat the food that she is feeding him, right? Similarly, the living entity is also adamant. I want to enjoy separately from you. I can't enjoy with you. Then the Lord says, okay, go to the material world. You can't be doing that in the spiritual world. Then living entity starts doing it in the material world. So that is an imitation enjoyment like the Lord. But will he get enjoyment? Maya is there to kick him left, right, center. So then he will realize, oh, I think I cannot enjoy separately from Krishna. Then he will turn to Krishna. Because there is a lot of suffering in this material world. Many people come to the Lord out of distress. So Lord will say, oh, fine, this is what I am waiting for. You should come back to me so that I give you real enjoyment. You are unnecessarily pursuing some material enjoyment falsely in this material world. It's like a mother. Lord is acting like a mother. Mother's dealing with an adamant child. He is Lord's dealing with a conditioned soul. Sometimes, when the children start cooking, what they do with their toy imitation utensils and other paraphernalia, they will fight with each other. One child is cooking bangan sabji, other child is cooking paneer sabji. There is no paneer, there is no bangan. It's all imitation only. And they will start quarreling. My sabji is better, your sabji is not good. They will start quarreling with each other. Similarly, living entities also, although they are doing imitation enjoyment only, there is competition in that enjoyment, there is envy in that enjoyment. The child is playing with toy only, there is nothing reality. One toy is like a bigger airplane, and another child is playing with another toy which is smaller airplane, or a bus, or a car. And this child playing, the child who has a big airplane, he will come and mock the other child. See, I have airplane, you have only car, useless. I can fly also in this. The children will start competing with each other like that. They will start comparing with each other. This plane is useless, not real. His bus is also useless, not real. Is it not? But they will start fighting and they will have inferiority complex and superiority complex amongst them. Similarly, in this material world also, some people are wealthy and some people are poor. Some people have a lot of skills and facilities and resources. Some people do not have facilities, skills and resources. So these people will have superiority complex, these people will have inferiority complex, and they will start fighting over resources. But both are not substantial. How much ever material wealth you have, how many material opulences and wealth and facilities, bungalows, cars, planes, whatever you may have, it has nothing to do with your spiritual advancement and spiritual connection with Krishna. They are all insubstantial. Why fight over them? Why become proud about that? Does it make sense? That's what the living entity is doing in this world. It's as good as children playing with their toys and fighting over some silly things. Sometimes children do this business game. You know, business game? They put some dice and they will go, okay, I will buy this Kanpur. Okay, I will buy this transport industry. I will buy like this. I will put for mortgage. Like that, there is business game. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
And they will say somebody will become very wealthy. One child will become wealthy and other child is like useless. He has to sell all his property. And within that, there is a lot of excitement for the children. So, and elders will see that and then laugh. Hey, kya kar? So, it's nothing real. But elders are also doing the same thing on a bigger scale. Hey, Simon Prabhu, does it make sense? That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. Many people ask this question. Why did I develop this desire to play with toy utensils, do my own cooking? Why can't I just eat the food cooked by Krishna? When did I develop this desire? Many people have this burning question. I don't have an answer. Now Prabhupada says, no use of asking it also. No need to trace it out. You know where you are, you know where you have to go, work on it. How did you end up here? You don't understand. There's no point also working it out. When you fell into a dark well, understand this is a dark well, you try to get out of it. So that's his point. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist. So conclusion is, in his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream. And in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. Bahurupaiva bhati mayaya bahurupaya ramamano guneshvasya mama hamiti manyate.
The illusion living entity appears in so many forms offered by the external energy of the Lord. While enjoying in the modes of material nature, the encased living entity misconceives thinking in terms of I and mine.
Bahurupa iva bhati. That living entity will enter so many rupas, so many forms. Mayaya bahurupaya. And all these forms are presented by Maya, external energy of the Lord. Ramamano guneshvasya. Ramamano means he will enjoy in all these forms. Sometimes he will become a parrot. Sometimes he will become an insect. Sometimes he will become a human being. Sometimes he will become a demigod. So like that, the living entity takes on different forms and enjoys Ramamano. How? Gunishvasya. He enjoys under the influence of material modes. Whatever is enjoyed under the influence of material modes is material enjoyment, which is insubstantial, which is useless, which is illusory. So, but still he enjoys on that plane. And thinking that mamaham iti manyate, it is me and it is mine, like that. The different forms of the living entities are different dresses offered by the illusory energy. So, even in the material nature, there is a chance of an independent choice by the living entity. And according to his choice, the living entity offers him different varieties of material bodies. So, even within this body also, he travels from babyhood, boyhood, childhood, youthhood. So like that he would just traverse. So, and if he is intelligent enough, he can desire to get a spiritual body to enjoy the company of the Lord, and he will get it. It's all managing your free will, managing your desires. So spiritual life is nothing but desire management. How do you manage your desires? Make sense? If one desires to serve the Lord, then he can go back to spiritual world also, if the desire is strong. If one's desire is very weak, very feeble, then he may not do it. And one cannot imitate the desires of great people artificially. Your desire may be somewhere there, but you should also understand where you are and try to increase the spiritual nature of your desires. Initially, you may have a desire to eat some good food once in a while, some feast on a while, a feast on a chair. So, chalega. To that extent, it's all right. But I think I should watch a movie now. Bahut bore ho gaya. Bhagavatam. Right? I should watch some Rajnikanth movie or James Bond movie, like that. So, those desires are forbidden desires. So, one can desire things that are not forbidden, and some little gratification of senses is needed to maintain as long as one is in this body. So you need not deny that kind of desire and try to overcome that desire if it is like undue. But one should know where he has to reach. That is, ultimate desire is only desiring to serve Krishna and nothing else. Coming to this stage will take some time. One minute. Forgetfulness of the real nature of the living entity and the whole misconception of the bewildering living entity can be removed by the association of Sukadeva Goswami. So how can one come out of this whirlpool of material desires and develop the real spiritual desire of dedicating oneself to Krishna? By the association of pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada concludes the purport like that. Hearing from great personalities would create a transformation in the hearts of living entities, sincere hearers. Yes, Prabhu, you were saying something.
Last, you say Krishna don't accept course to the mouth. Sometimes we saw the services, you don't know how it is, because it is given, you don't know how.
Isn't that force? Does Krishna accept or not? Ultimately, whether you are forced or not, it's up to you only to decide whether you are doing that service or not. See, now there is free will, there are different degrees. You have surrendered or whatever, submitted, you have agreed to submit to one authority. Okay, I will enter this department and serve as per the instruction of this person. That decision you have made. So within that decision also, there are sub-decisions on a day-to-day, small details. Okay, I agree to the principle of working for this department for whatever, 1 year, 2 years. Within that 1 or 2 years, there are some activities which may not be very pleasing to you, which may be very pleasing to you. Right? So those activities that are pleasing to you are very enthusiastic and eager. And some things which are not very pleasing, but you do it because you are obliged to do. Oh, I have already committed here. So although it's not very exciting, let me do it. Fine. Karna padega. What you have to. So that is, you can't say that it is not accepted by Krishna, and Krishna is actually happy to accept that service, because although you don't like it, you are not very eager to do it, you are somehow pushing yourself to do it. You had the opportunity to quit this department, right? Quit this service, but still, okay, I committed, let me do it. Like that you are doing, although it's not very exciting to you. So that is, those opportunities are actually, you can see that in a better perspective, instead of thinking that whether Krishna will accept that or not, we can see that in a better perspective that I got an opportunity to sacrifice, to do some sacrifice for Krishna's service. Although it is inconvenient for me, I do it. And that extending yourself beyond your capacity or beyond your skill set or taste is actually pleasing to Krishna. He could have quit. There are, then also you can quit. No one can force you so much to set an extent. You will say, I can't do this. They may push you a little bit. You may accept that push and then do it. One, if someone says, I cannot do this, I will not come on. No one will push you beyond certain, at least within the devotional circus, no one will be forced. Only demons will force. Demons will force to serve. Hiranyakashipu will force everyone to chant his names and then worship his deity. But devotees will not, generally not do it. Even if they force, it's the need of the hour that's there for a temporary amount of time, and ultimately it's up to your consent only. If someone is like too much, I can't handle it at all, they will just leave it. Chale, chode, let's go. Karna nahi, it's like it's too much for him, so let's find someone else. That's what happens generally. Does it make sense? Third verse. Yarhivava mahim nisve parasmin kala mayayoh rameta gata sammoha tyakto daste tado bhayam.
As soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus become fully manifested as the pure self.
Yarhi vava mahim nisve. Mahim nisve means one's own glory, one's own mahima. What is one's own glory? To be in a situation where he perpetually renders loving service to Krishna voluntarily. That is the original glory of every single living entity. That's how he is constitutionally made. Now, this mobile is constitutionally made to make phone calls, to check messages, and then to have emails and other things. But now, for example, this table, one leg is short and then it's moving like this. You can put this mobile under it and then you can just rectify that imbalance, is it not? But is it the right purpose of this mobile? You just take one small piece of paper and do it, and that will do the needful. You don't need a 7,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees mobile to put there, is it not? Similarly, to enjoy any stupid material plane, even hawks and dogs can do. Why a human being has to do it? Human being can do much better. A pure spirit soul, I think you should rectify this mic. A pure spirit soul can enjoy on a spiritual plane with Krishna, right? So why he has to suffer in this material world? It's like, instead of putting this, you know, 10 paisa or 20 paisa paper, you are putting a 10,000 rupees mobile phone to do this small stupid business, is it not? So soul is meant to serve Krishna. Why he is serving some company fellow or serving some material master in the material world? So that is the glory. Original glory is that. So Jiva should enjoy in his original glory, different from Maya. Parasmin kala maya yohu. Why? Because parasmin, in the supreme, he can enjoy. Kalamayayoho. So, as soon as the living entity becomes in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and energy, here enjoy transcendence is basically his original position or serving the Supreme Lord. Enjoy the service of the Supreme Lord, transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, who is beyond kala, time factor, and maya, material energy. Rameta means enjoying. Gata sammoha. Gata sammoha is completely devoid of material enjoyment, material bewilderment. Satyakto daste tadobhayam. Tyaktva udaste in fullness tada ubhayam. Ubhayam is what? Both. What is that both? That is mamaham. That is I and mine, conception of I and mine. See the previous verse and this verse. There is a connection between these two verses. In the previous verse it is mentioned that mayaya ramamana guneswasya. He is enjoying on a material plane due to material gunas. In the conception of I and mine, mamaham. Right? Same opposite thing is mentioned in the third verse. He will do rameta, enjoys, parasmin kalamayayo. Enjoys the transcendence which is beyond time and matter, time and material modes. And tyakta udaste tado abhayam. So, tado ubhayam. He will give up these two conceptions of mama and aham. The last line. Mama aham iti manyate. He will give that up. So, if one gives the both conceptions of being, identifying things in terms of me and mine, and tries to serve the Lord and enjoy that transcendence, then he is liberated soul. So third verse describes how devotional service or bhakti removes the misconceptions of I and mine. Okay. So because of the unexpected influence of maya, jiva gets millions of births. And because of unexpected influence of bhakti, jiva terminates these infinite births. This is all influence of bhakti. So second verse describes the influence of maya. Third verse describes the influence of bhakti. So in the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent, and in the higher state, conception of I is prominent. For example, a karmi would think that this is mine, this is my house, this is my wife, my children, my country, like that. And a jnani, he starts thinking that I am this, I am the Lord, I am the Supreme, I am this, I am that, like that. He will think that in that way. So these both conceptions are very dangerous. However, the true mine is my service to Krishna. And the true I is I am an eternal servant of Krishna. This I and mine, mamaham conception is there in devotees also. But what is that I and mine? I am servant of Krishna. Mine is the service. This service is mine. I have to render this service to Krishna that way. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects. Jnanis will think, I am the Supreme. They will identify themselves with the Lord. But actually, there is oneness on a spiritual plane between the Lord and living entity. But that is qualitative oneness, not quantitative oneness. We know this example, a sea, drop of water in the sea and the sea itself. Both have same chemical composition and same quality, but the quantity is different. So, a poor man without any employment or occupation may undergo so many troubles. But if by chance the same man gets a good service under government, he becomes happy at once. So there is no profit of denying the supremacy of the Lord, but one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory. Being situated in one's own glory, mahim nisve mahiyate, means being situated in bhakti. Similarly, when one is face to face with the Supreme Lord, he is freed from all illusions, and one who is not so is in the darkness of illusory maya. The living entity has to be situated in the transcendental position where there is no more influence of time and energy. See the last paragraph. Prabhupada writes a brilliant statement. The perfect process is to accept Lord Vasudeva as the Supreme in everything. And the best perfection is culturing knowledge. In culturing knowledge is to surrender unto Him. perfect process is to accept the Lord as Supreme. Perfection of the process is to surrender unto Him. Okay. So, Gita and Bhagavatam both are emphasizing on this Bhakti Yoga. Esyam vaisruyamanayam krishne paramapurushi bhakti rutpadyate pumsaha shoka moha bhayapaha. Fourth verse. So, in the first three verses, Brahmaji explained this answer to the first question. Why there is a connection between the living entity who is spirit and a material body? Answer is what? What is the answer? Deva Dinabandhu Prabhu?
Mind.
Huh? Correct, correct.
Mind, I surrender to Krishna.
Correct. So the connection between the living entity and the Lord is because of Maya, because of misidentification. The connection between matter and spirit. However, to undo that connection, to come out of that connection between matter and spirit, and then re-establish the connection between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, one needs to perform devotional service, as you said. Okay, fourth verse. So he answered that question. He explained the problem and he gave the solution also. Now he has to answer the remaining questions based on the conversation that happened between Brahmaji and Vishnu, in which Chitushluki comes. So when someone asks a question, oh, Kapil Dev describes like this in the third canto, you quote Kapil Dev and give answer, that's authentic. Or someone else asks some other question, oh, Sukadeva Goswami spoke like this in Bhagavatam, you quote Sukadeva Goswami, then your answer is considered bona fide. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami himself is adopting this procedure. When Parikshit asked a question, he is immediately quoting the Lord and Brahmaji conversation. So that way. Atma tattva vishuddhyartham yadaha bhagavan ritam brahmane darshayan rupam avyalika vratadritaha.
O King, the personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma, and that is the objective goal for purifying the conditioned soul.
So, Atma Tattva Vishuddhyartham Yadaha Bhagavan Ritam. So, before directly mentioning the conversation between Brahmaji and the Lord, he first sets the platform for the conversation between Lord and Brahma. He gives some background. So, in the very beginning of creation, the Supreme Lord saw Brahmaji who performed non-deceptive penance. That is avyalika vratadritaha. Avyalika means no deception, no pretense, no duplicity. Vrata adritaha. Vrata means to perform some vow, some austerity. So he worshipped the Supreme Lord. He took the vow of worshipping the Supreme Lord and meditating on the Supreme Lord without any deception. That's what Brahmaji has done right in the beginning of the creation. So the Lord reciprocated with him. He mentions that now. Lord is very pleased with him. Atma Tattva Vishuddhyartham. Atma Tattva means the science of both God and living entity. So, Atma is soul. It can be soul and super soul. Both soul and super soul can be called Atma. When you say Atma Tattva, understanding of soul and super soul is called Atma Tattva. Okay. So generally people have many wrong conceptions about both of them. What is the wrong conception about Jivatma?
Atma Nishas
Atma. So the soul and super soul both are same. That is the wrong conception about Paramatma. Bringing him down to the level of Jivatma is a wrong conception about Paramatma. And what is the wrong conception about Jivatma? Bringing the Jivatma down to the level of material body. That is the wrong conception about Jivatma. Right? So to identify the spirit soul as material body is a wrong conception. To identify the Supreme Lord as good as a common living entity is also wrong misconception. So these two can be removed by one stroke of Bhakti Yoga, Prabhupada says. If one begins to perform Bhakti Yoga, little hearing and chanting, so one, at least on an intellectual plane, he has the understanding that soul is different from the body and God is different from Jiva. This much understanding everyone has here, right? We are all in the beginning years of our Krishna consciousness process. Someone may come 5 years back or 10 years back, something like that. Some are like very seniors also. So, that Atma Tattva, right Atma Tattva will be established by even beginning to practice Bhakti Yoga. May not be very advanced personalities only will understand it, not like that. Even beginners also can understand this, at least on an intellectual plane. To realize it will take a little while, but that is the right understanding of Atma Tattva. So Prabhupada elaborates on Rupam. Brahmane Darshayan Rupam. Brahmaji got the darshan of the transcendental form of the Lord. The second paragraph is dedicated to understanding the form of the Lord. The Lord's transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya or penance. That is Bhakti Yoga. So Brahmaji has done Bhakti Yoga of hearing and chanting and meditating on the Supreme Lord, remembering the Lord. So because of that, he understood the Lord. So Parikshit Maharaj yesterday asked another question. What was the question? Second question. What is the difference between
Jiva and
bodies of the Jiva and the Supreme Lord? That is answered here. So Lord's body is manifested by internal potency, and living entity's body is manifested by external potency. Okay. So Brahmane Darshayan Rupam. So the form of the Lord is Satchidananda. Living entity is also Satchidananda, but there is a difference. But here it is speaking about the body part. Body is manifested by material elements here. His body is manifested by his internal potency. But the spirit soul, there is something common. So thus the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of both the Lord and living entity. Regular reading or hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of Bhakti Yoga. And one can attain the highest perfection simply by association of Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Both attained perfection. Okay. So Sukadeva Goswami attained perfection by Bhagavatam by speaking it. Parikshit Maharaj attained perfection of life by hearing Bhagavatam. Fifth verse. Fourth verse said, basically, how Brahmaji attained the darshan of Supreme Lord's form by non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga. Avyalika Vrata Akrita. Fifth verse. Sahadi Devo Jagatam Paro Guru.
Sahadi Devo Jagatam Paro Guru.
Swadhishnyamasthaya Sisriksha Ikshata.
Swadhishnyamasthaya Sisriksha Ikshata.
Tamna Dhegachya Drishamatra Sammatam. Prapancha Nirmana Vidhiryaya Bhavet.
Lord Brahma, the first spiritual master, supreme in the universe, could not trace out the source of his lotus seat, and while thinking of creating the metal world, he could not understand the proper direction for such creative work, nor could he find out the process of such creation.
So Brahmaji, initially, he could not understand how to do this creation, all that. So, this verse is setting the prelude for explaining the transcendental nature of the form and abode of the Lord. So, he took birth from the lotus that sprouted from the navel of Garbhodaksai Vishnu. But initially, he could not see Garbhodaksai Vishnu. So he went into the lotus stem. He went all the way up to the navel of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Still he could not understand, figure out. So one cannot understand the Supreme Lord by one's own attempts on an external platform. One can understand him only when the Lord himself agrees to reveal himself to him. So therefore the kingdom of God is not a myth but factually a different and transcendental sphere of planets known as the Vaikunthas. So that will be described in this chapter. So Brahmaji could see the abode of Supreme Lord in this chapter. Such knowledge of the spiritual sky far above this material sky and its paraphernalia can be known by dint of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Power of creation by Lord Brahma was also achieved by bhakti yoga. By bhakti yoga, one can know the Lord, and by knowing the Lord as the Supreme, one is able to know everything else. If one understands the Supreme Lord, there is no need to endeavor to understand many other things. It's already there. If you are already friends with the President of India, you don't have to understand how the local Tahsildar, Talati, Gram Sarpanch, all of them work. Whatever papers you have, he will ultimately sanction it. If you have a sanction from the Prime Minister or President, so why do you need local people? Right? So that way. Such knowledge, so by Bhakti Yoga, one can understand the Lord, and by understanding the Lord, he will understand everything else also, his energies. So even the first spiritual master of the universe, that is Brahmaji, he also needed a guru, that is Krishna. So Krishna doesn't need a guru, but when he descends into this world in the Yadu dynasty, he may accept a guru. In Ikshvaku dynasty as Ramachandra, he will accept a guru, to set an example. But he is the Parama Guru of entire cosmic manifestation. So to seek knowledge and strength of one's own personal attempt is a sheer waste of time. One has to approach a guru. Similarly, Brahmaji, in the beginning, he wanted to understand the Supreme Lord by his own personal endeavors, and he could not. But by practicing bhakti yoga, by following the instructions of the Lord to meditate on him, to do tapa, he would understand finally the Supreme Lord. Sixth verse. So fifth verse is that Brahmaji could not understand the source of this lotus and how to do creation. That's what happened in the beginning of the creation. Now let's see what happens. I suppose.
Actually, Brahma was going, you know, like Kamal Nadi, that's compared to he himself on himself trying to understand.
Correct. He's trying to figure out what is the source. Source is who? Lord only. But Lord did not reveal himself. But Lord instructs him to do tapa. That's what is the sixth verse. Sachintayan dvaksharame kadambhasi upasrano dvir gaditam vacho vibhu sparsheshu yat shodashame kavimsham nishkinchananam rupayat dhanam vidu.
While thus engaged in thinking in the water, Brahmaji heard the twice from the nearby two syllables joined together. One of the syllable was taken from the 16th and the other from the 21st of the Sparsa alphabets, and both joined become the wealth of the renounced order of life.
So chintayan draksharam ekadam bhasi. So while he is thinking, what is the source of this lotus? How do I, what should I do now? Then, dvi aksharam, he heard two aksharas, two syllables. What are they? Sparsheshu yat shodasham ekavimsham. Shodasha is 16th syllable. Ekavimsham is 21st syllable. In the actual list of alphabets, 16th is ta and 21st is pa. Tapa. So he heard tapa. So that means he has to do tapa. Tapasya. Meditation. So upasrano Dvir gaditam bacho vibhu. He has heard, and twice he has heard. Tapa, tapa, two times he has heard. So then, what is the value of that word tapa? The last line explains. Nishkinchananam nripayad dhanam viduhu. For nishkinchanas, nishkinchana means like sannyasis, who do not possess any material wealth, for them it is dhanam. The wealth of the renounced order of life is tapa. If you are a renounced order of life, what is your wealth? If someone asks you, you should say tapa, austerity. This is our wealth. So that's how one needs to answer. So he heard that.
Is there a reason why you are somewhere 30 times?
It's Lord's will. So this penance is the beauty and wealth of Brahmanas and the renounced order of life. This tapa or penance was begun from very beginning of creation, and it was adopted by the Supreme Spiritual Master Brahmaji himself. So even Rishabhadev says, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyadyasmat brahma saukyam tanvitam. So to have a material body, to have a human life, and to waste it like dogs and hogs who eat stool is not a very worthy proposal. It's not an intelligent way of living. So one has to do tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. One has to do tapa to get an eternal life, to get something permanent. One should not waste one's life and time in some petty endeavors to get some material enjoyment on the level of animals. That's what Rishabhadev says. So by tapasya only can one get the profit of human life. So there are two kinds of tapasya. One is done for one's own self, second is done for others. What is the tapa for one's own self? The austerity of mind, austerity of words. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya abhyasanam chayiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. You know this verse? So, the austerity of speech is to study shastras, to speak in a very pleasing manner, the truth. So, all that is austerity of speech. Like that, there is austerity of mind, austerity of eating habits, and so many things. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. This is all for self-purification. And there is another tapa which is done for others. Others' welfare. Tapyante lokatapena sadhavaha prayesho janaha paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmana. So, great souls almost always do austerity or accept voluntarily inconvenience for others' sake. For example, all the demigods and demons were troubled when Halahal came out. So immediately Shiva came and then drank all that poison. That is considered tapa. Austerity done for others. In that context only this verse comes. Tapyante lokatapena. That is paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanaha. That is the supreme form of worship. If someone takes some trouble for the spiritual upliftment of other living beings, Krishna is very pleased with him. Oh, he is taking out some time, he is sacrificing himself for the welfare of humanity to bring them in touch with Krishna. So, he is very dear to me. So, preacher is very dear to the Lord. Preacher or any devotee who is selflessly rendering some service for the overall spreading of the preaching mission is very dear to the Lord. So, Brahma was initiated into this Krishna mantra. Next. So, now Brahma is initiated by the Supreme Lord only. The Lord said, tapa, tapa, do tapasya. So, that was directly told by the Lord. So, the Lord is the guru of Brahmaji. So, now Brahmaji will follow the instructions. That is in the 7th verse. Nishamyatad vaktru didrukshayadisho vilokyat tatranyadapashyatatmana. So Swadhishnyam asthaya vimrishyataddhitam tapasyupadishta ivada dhemana.
When he heard the sound, he tried to find the speaker, searching on all sides. But when he was unable to find anyone besides himself, he thought it wise to sit down on his lotus seat firmly and give his attention to the execution of penance as he was instructed.
So Brahmaji prepared himself to execute the instruction given by the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in this context about initiation and guidance of spiritual master. To achieve success in life, one should follow the example of Brahmaji. So Brahmaji was the first living entity in the creation, and he was initiated by the Lord directly to do tapasya. So Brahmaji is doing that. So being initiated by the Supreme Lord to execute tapasya, he was fixed in his determination to do it. So Lord is within the heart of every living entity, and he initiated Brahmaji because Brahma was willing to receive that initiation. So similarly, Lord can initiate anyone provided the living entity is willing to receive the direction from the Supreme Lord who is within. So, but one has, one may not be able to get the direct instruction from the Supreme Lord to do tapa directly, but one can have the same facility through unalloyed devotees of the Lord through scriptural instructions. The Lord himself appears as the spiritual master to a person who is sincere in heart about serving the Lord. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master who happens to meet the sincere devotee should be accepted as the most confidential and beloved representative of the Lord. That's what Prabhupada mentioned in the previous purports also. So any devotee who is connecting a living entity to the Supreme Lord becomes a representative of the Supreme Lord, and he deserves as much respect as the Supreme Lord. So, I cannot directly get instruction from the Lord, what should I do? I am not fortunate like Brahma. One need not think like that. There are devotees who are following the disciplic succession, and through them one can achieve the favor of Krishna. Then Brahmaji started doing tapasya for 1,000 celestial years. That is mentioned in the 8th verse. Divyam sahasrabdham amogha darshano jitanilatma vijitobhayendriya atapyatasma khilalokatapanam tapastapiyam stapatam samahita.
Lord Brahma underwent penances for 1,000 years by the calculation of the demigods. He heard this transcendental vibration from the sky and he accepted it as divine. Thus, he controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were a great lesson for the living entities. Thus, he is known as greatest of all ascetics.
Divyam sahasrabdham amogha darshano. Divyam sahasrabdham means 1,000 years. 1,000 years of demigods, not our 1,000 years. So Brahmaji has a very long duration. Within one day of Brahma, how can he perform 1,000 years of tapasya? His calculation is totally different. That comes in the 3rd canto, 11th chapter. So he performed tapasya for 1,000 celestial years, and jita anila atma vijito bhayendriyaha. By controlling his senses and mind and all his faculties, he focused completely on the Supreme Lord for 1,000 years. So after receiving the instruction from the Lord. So thus he has controlled his mind and senses, and the penances he executed were great lesson for all living entities. Tapas tapiyam stapatam samahitaha. So he is setting the example how after receiving initiation from a guru, one has to dedicate oneself to the instructions of the guru and perform tapasya and all the other devotional duties with great determination. Brahmaji is setting the example. He is the greatest of all ascetics. So Brahmaji did not differentiate between the Lord and the instruction that came from the Lord. Lord said tapa tapa. In this context, Prabhupada says the person is non-different from the sound vibration uttered by the person. So how do we respect our spiritual guides and spiritual masters? By giving importance, utmost importance to their instructions. So this instruction is non-different from the person. If I respect the person and if I disrespect his instruction, what kind of respect I have for the person? Prabhu, I love you. I want to dedicate myself to you. But I can't be doing what you said. So it's little too much. So there is no difference between the person and the instruction, especially in the case of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. So Uddhava was feeling so much separation from Krishna when Krishna was about to depart. But Krishna told him, you go to Badrika Ashram and give my message to the sages. That is your service after my departure. Then he actually did it. Uddhava, in that context, Prabhupada writes, there is no factual separation between the devotee and the Lord if the devotee is rendering service to the Lord. So service and remembrance of the Lord is actually union with the Lord. There is no factual separation. As long as one is rendering service to the Lord and executing the instruction of the Lord. You can remember this statement. Prabhupada writes it in 3rd canto. Somewhere in 4th or 5th chapters. His acceptance of the sound was due to his pure vision of the absolute nature of the Lord. And due to his correct vision, he made no distinction between the Lord and his instruction. The potency of transcendental sound is never minimized because the vibrator is apparently absent. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any revealed scripture in the world is never to be accepted as an ordinary mundane sound without transcendental potency. Now it's just a print, right? Any printout you take of any web page online, and you take a printout of one verse of Bhagavatam from your folio, Vedabase. So what is the difference between these two? So one paper, one printout can transform the life of a person. Because the words that are printed on that page are having transcendental potency that is invested in those words by the speaker of those words. Sukadeva Goswami or Vyasadeva or Brahmaji or Narada Muni or Krishna himself. So these are their words, so they carry that potency. And if someone reads those words, he will definitely get that transformation in his heart, provided he has the sufficient sincerity with which he reads that instructions. So these scriptures cannot be compared with any other mundane magazines or newspapers or other things. So for that, one needs to have dedication to the instructions of spiritual master. There should be dedication. To the extent one is sincere and dedicated, to that extent his study of the scripture will positively influence him. Otherwise, many people will read Bhagavad Gita, many people will read Bhagavatam. I was sharing about my college friend, right? So many will read, but there is no transformation in their life and their consciousness and their attitude and their lifestyle because of lacking that attitude of in which they are approaching. Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph, one has to receive the transcendental sound from the right source, accept it as a reality, and prosecute the direction without hesitation. Four things he says. Sound from the right source. Then accept it as reality. Third, prosecute it. Fourth, without any hesitation. One may prosecute it, but internally he may be having doubt. Like that he may have hundreds of doubts. But if it is coming from a bona fide source, one should not have any hesitation. The secret of success is to receive the sound from the right source of a bona fide spiritual master. Mundane manufactured sound has no potency. And as such, seemingly transcendental sound received from an authorized, unauthorized person also has no potency. That's why Prabhupada often quotes Sanatana Goswami. What is that verse? Snake. Sarpochishtapayo yatha. How does it begin? Avaishnava mukhodgirnam putam harikathamrutam sravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishta payoyatha. Same book, same Bhagavatam, if one hears from a non-Vaishnava, then it does not carry the transcendental potency. One should be qualified enough to discern such transcendental potency, and either by discriminating or by fortunate chance, if one is able to receive the transcendental sound from the bona fide spiritual master, his path of liberation is guaranteed. Following the order of the bona fide spiritual master is the only duty of the disciple. And this completely faithful execution of the order of bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. These are all golden statements of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is the perfect example of these statements. His spiritual master told him, preach in English language. Then he did it. He dedicated his entire life. Now you can see how he left his body. Na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamrutam syat sambharamonta kale pismaratam tat padambujam. He says that someone who has dedicated his life for the service of Krishna and to the topics of the Supreme Lord, uttama shloka varta, he will not run into any bewildering misconceptions even at the time of death. At the time of death, when it is extremely difficult to even think in a balanced way, all the senses are not functioning, voice also is not coming out, mind is totally bewildered, intelligence is blocked, then in such a deranged condition, how can someone translate Bhagavatam and give purports that can be studied for next 10,000 years? Only Prabhupada could do it. All this is because of his dedication to the instructions of his bona fide spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Vaishnava. So Prabhupada attributes all his success to his spiritual master. So therefore, controlling the senses means engaging them in transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord's order descends in disciplic succession through the bona fide spiritual master, and thus execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master is factual control of senses. Factual control of senses is to engage those senses in spiritual master service, to execute the instructions of spiritual master. In the fourth canto, Prabhupada writes that our desires for sense gratification are like ripples on the river that will never stop. Do you ever see the water of a river standing still like that, not moving, only like ice? It doesn't happen. There are always ripples, especially in a flowing river. So our sense gratificative desires are also like that. They are like ripples on flowing river. They will never stop. But if the river meets the ocean, the oceanic tides will overwhelm these insignificant ripples of the river and they will disappear. They will go in the background. They are not prominent anymore. Tides will take over. So spiritual master's instructions and his desires to render service to Krishna are like oceanic tides, and when we agree to fulfill those instructions of the spiritual master, our insignificant desires for sense gratification will just go away. This is a proposed statement in Yatpada Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya. In that verse purport he writes, so such execution of penance in full faith and sincerity made Brahmaji so powerful that he became the creator of the universe. His sincerity and dedication to execute the instructions of Krishna made him the creator of the universe. So all success comes by sincere, submissive dedication to the instructions of spiritual masters. Like that. So, and because he was able to attain such power, he is called best among the demigods, best among the tapasvis. So, after executing tapasya for 1000 celestial years, what happened, we will see after break. So, after break, break means break, 5-10 minutes break is 1000 years fast forward of the story. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. clearly. Take your own, yeah? I mean, or are you?
परम न तत्परम व्यपेत संक्लेश विमोह साध्वसं सदृष्टवद्भिर् पुरुषैर् अभिष्टुतम्
This transcendental abode of the Lord, this abode by all self realized persons, free from all kinds of miseries and fear of misery existence.
So when Brahmaji did tapasya for 1,000 celestial years, he got the darshan of Mahavaikuntha. That is the description in the next 10 verses, from 9th to 18th verse. Tasmai svalokam bhagavan sabhajatah. Sabhajatah means Lord is very pleased with the penance of Brahma. So being extremely pleased, Lord just gave him darshan of his own abode. So when the Lord is so pleased, what he does we don't know. The service of Brahma. So sandarshayama asa param nayat param. So he has seen that most supreme transcendental abode, which is beyond all the other abodes, right? Vyapeta sanklesha vimoha sadhasam. So vyapeta means he has completely given up sanklesha, the five kinds of material afflictions. Vimoha sadhasam means the fears of material existence without any moha. So this, the qualities of material world are described. One is in the spiritual world there are now five kinds of tribulations, five kinds of ignorance or material afflictions. What are they? If you remember, that is not covered yet. In the third and the 12th chapter, Brahmaji creates five kinds of softwares or operating systems for the running of this material creation. So sarjagrendha tamishram athatamishram adikrit mahamohamcha mohamcha tamaschagnana vrittayaha. In the beginning of the creation, Brahmaji has created this tamaha, means ignorance, and moham means this wrong conception of thinking oneself to be the material body, like that material conception. And mahamoham means within that material conception people get attached to things. This is my bottle, this is my clock, this is my table. So that kind of wrong possessiveness. Tamaha, moham, mahamoham, then tamishram and andhatamishram. So that is also fear, anger upon frustration, and also a conception of death. So that is andhatamishram and tamishram. So these five things he has created. So the equivalents of these five are this avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, which are mentioned in Madhurya Kadambani also. So that is like ignorance, material conception, attachment, hatred, and absorption. They are coming from the purport. I am quoting from purport only. So these five things do not exist in the spiritual world. Raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, avidya, asmita. These five things do not exist in the spiritual world. That's why it is called vyapeta sanklesha. It's completely divided of five kinds of material afflictions. Vimoha, it is completely devoid of illusion. Sadhasam, the fear of material existence is not available there. So swadrishtavadbihi purushaihi abhishtutam. And he also saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead being adored and worshipped and loved by so many self-realized persons. The Vaikuntha Loka is filled with so many self-realized personalities, and all of them have only one object of service, that is Supreme Lord, Vishnu. So Brahmaji got this darshan. We have a beautiful painting. Brahmaji is sitting on this beautiful lotus flower, and then he sees Vaikuntha with all the Vaikuntha vases. The troubles of penance accepted by Lord Brahma were certainly in line with devotional service. Now, what kind of austerity, tapa, that Brahmaji has done? One may have a question. We may not know the details, his itinerary, his daily schedule for 1,000 celestial years, we may not know. But we can definitely understand that he has done devotional tapa, devotional meditation, bhakti yoga he has done. Unless he has done bhakti yoga, he would not get darshan of Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha darshan is available for only bhakti yogis. Right? Jnani cannot see Vaikuntha. Karmi cannot see Vaikuntha. He may see heavenly planet. And Jnani may see the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. May not be the spiritual world. But Brahmaji has seen it. That means he has done bhakti yoga. There is undoubtedly trouble in executing penance. But the trouble accepted in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning. Whereas the trouble of penance in other processes of realization, that is Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, that will not give any Vaikuntha realization, and that will not end the trouble of living entities. Right? So, Prabhupada compares between the penance that is done in Bhakti Yoga versus other yogas. Right? Tetvaksharam nirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamachintyam cha kotasthamachalam dharvam sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hitiyartah. So, the jnanis who undergo so much of endeavor getting attached to the impersonal conception, they also attain Krishna only. But what feature of Krishna they will attain? The impersonal feature, not the personal feature. So they will also attain Krishna, but their path is filled with so many difficulties. Klesho dhikataraste-sham avyakta sakta cetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavad bhiravapyate. These are all the verses from 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Klesha adhikataraste-sham. They have to undergo so much of difficulty in their path of executing the principles of Jnanakanda. So they will come in the 6th canto, 1st chapter only. All the 25 limbs of Jnana process. Some of them are overlapping with Bhakti process. However, this the result that they attain is not complete. They will attain Krishna, but they will not attain the complete personal feature of Krishna. Right? So, the path is filled with difficulties and the result of following that path is very meager and not complete. On the other hand, the path of Bhakti Yoga is full of happiness and bliss while performance also, and at the end the result is glorious. Result is complete. Personal reciprocation of Krishna face to face. So, who will choose this? Right? You have to spend 1 lakh for this product, and this product will work for 10 days. On the other hand, you have to spend only 10,000 for this product, and product will work for 10 years. Which one you will choose? That's what Prabhupada is asking in this purport. So, without any Vaikuntha realization, it ends up in trouble and nothing more. So, there is no profit in biting husks without grain. Prabhupada is quoting Brahmaji's prayers from 10th kind of 14th chapter. Sthola tushava ghati naam. Now already threshing ho gaya. You take the grass and then start beating. Will you get grains or what? No, right? After rice plantation, when it's a time of harvest, if you beat empty husk, you will not get any grains. So that is equivalent to the troubles that are undertaken in the process of other transcendental paths. Executing Bhakti Yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted of the abdomen of Transcendental Personality of Godhead. Brahma was able to see the Lord. Impersonal realization of the Self and the Supreme is not complete because it is just an opposite conception of material personalities. As I mentioned earlier, yesterday also, by following any path, one will attain the Supreme Lord only. However, which aspect of the Lord he will attain, we have to understand. For example, if you climb the steps and go to the 10th floor, like in the 10th floor there are 10 rooms. One is the director's room, one is the secretary's room, and one is the room of some manager, and another is the room of some clerk. Some small cubicle is the room of some peon or attendant. So like that, all of them are in the 10th floor only. You attain 10th floor by climbing so many steps, but which section of the 10th floor you will attain? Everybody will attain Krishna only. Everybody is approaching milk only. But if you are approaching the milk through nose, you will only get its fragrance. Only when you approach the milk with your mouth, you will get nourishment of the milk. If you approach the milk only with your eyes, other senses are not functioning, only eyes are seeing the milk, you will definitely see some, derive some pleasure of seeing some white substance, nothing more. Similarly, many are attaining Krishna only, but some are attaining the effulgence of Krishna, not Krishna directly. So Kapiladeva also very emphatically says that everybody through jnana path or whatever path, you may ashtanga path, you will attain Krishna only, but which feature of Krishna you will attain, that is different. Now Putana also attained Krishna, and all the elderly gopis and all the cows of Vrindavan, they also attained Krishna. But is this attainment and that attainment same? Avapa janani gatim Krishna bhukta stanak shiraha kimuga vonu mataraha. She got janani gati, but it's like a motherly nurse. So in that context, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, that which is bestowed upon you without your willing is different from that which is offered to you with your sincere longing. All the devotees with great love, all the affectionate mothers of Vrindavan with great love, they fed their milk from their own bodies to Krishna with such love and affection. Definitely they got motherly position, but that position is not like Putana's position. Putana came with a malicious intention and then Krishna gave her, okay, at least she showed, she acted like a mother. She did some acting at least. He took that little reason and then delivered her. So there is a difference. Although everybody is attaining Krishna, there is a gradation in that attainment. Similarly, Jnani may attain Krishna, the Yogi may attain Krishna, and Bhakta may attain Krishna, there is a gradation in that achievement. So that difference is being highlighted in this purport. Next, 10th verse. And in the 7th canto, he also says, Sukadeva Goswami, no, Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says, Kamsa attained Krishna, Shishupala attained Krishna, and so many other demons also attained Krishna, and Vrishnis attained Krishna, Pandavas attained Krishna, but there is a difference in their attainment, right? Some people may enter Vaikuntha, but different people have different kinds of muktis. Some may have Sarupya Mukti, they attain the form of the Lord. Some people have Salokya Mukti, they attain the planet of the Lord, but some people attain Samipya Mukti. You may be Salokya, but Salokya means staying on the same planet as the Lord. That doesn't mean you are staying so next to the Lord. Same country, same Galtara village, but somebody is in one corner of the village, somebody is in some other corner. That's like Salokya Mukti. But you are staying in the same house, that is Samipya Mukti, that is one step higher. So all these liberations are there, but there is gradation amongst these liberations. So attaining Krishna does not mean that everyone will get the same result. So now by practicing Bhakti Yoga, Brahmaji got darshan of Vaikuntha. So what are the qualities of Vaikuntha? 10th verse describes. Pravartate yatra rajas tamastayoh. Sattvam cha mishram na cha kala vikrama.
Sattvam cha mishram na cha kala vikrama.
Nayatra maya kimuta pare hare.
Nayatra maya kimuta pare hare.
Anuvrata yatra sura sura archita.
Anuvrata yatra sura sura archita.
In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees.
Pravartate yatra rajas tamastayo. So in that abode of Vaikuntha, there is no raja and there is no tama. They have no place there. And sattvam cha, there is no sattva also, which is mixed with raja and tama. Sattvam cha mishram na cha. So there is sattva there, that is vishuddha sattva. There is sattva in the material world also, that is always tinged with passion and ignorance. That kind of sattva is not there in spiritual world. Sattvam cha mishram, mishra sattva is not there, pure sattva is there. So what is the quality of Vaikuntha? One, no raja, no tama, no mishra sattva. Fourth, he is kala vikramaha. Kala Vikramaha means the time factor cannot exert influence there. Here everything is according to time. Time up, paper lilu. Not like that. Time will expand. So then, 5. Nayatra Maya. There is no influence of material energy also. This Maya refers to external energy. Nayatra Maya Kimutapare Harehe. So because Lord Hari is there, so none of these 5 items would disturb. But these 5 items are there in the material world very prominently. So there are 3 modes. And there is Kala and there is Maya. Kala, Maya, Raja, Tama, Sattva. These 3 are the main things by which the material world is progressing. But these 5 are not there in the spiritual world. So Anuvrata Yatra Svarasura Architaha. So there only Anuvrata devotees are there. Those devotees who are so dedicated and favorable towards Lord's service are existing. So without discrimination, both the demigods and demons worship the Lord as devotees. So there is no goodness mixed with passion and ignorance. What does it mean? Chakravartipad says, there is no maintenance of temporary swarga or planets. The goodness in this material world would maintain, passion will create, ignorance will destroy. What does goodness do? It will maintain. So for maintenance, one needs goodness. For creation, you need passion. Karna, karna, karna. Deadline. Stop. Finish this. So you created it. Then after that, you want to take rest. Right? So that is passion. So in the material world, the goodness will allow one to maintain what? Svarga and other planets. But that kind of maintenance of material planets is not existing in the spiritual world. But the quality of sattva in the spiritual world will maintain something else. Maintain the relationships and maintain the whole ambience of the spiritual world. And without any tinges of passion and ignorance. But it is not meant to maintain some material planets like Svarga and other things. So, and all these millions and billions of universes combined together constitute only 1/4 of the magnitude of the whole creation of the world. All the material universes are only 1/4. But spiritual world is 3/4. So that is the quality of Lord's creation, which is spiritual. So even the leaves of a tree cannot be counted by a man, nor can the hairs on his head. Can you count the hairs on your sikha? Most of our head we shaved only. Only this much hair is remaining on our head. So can we count even that many hairs? Do we have the patience? So we don't. And what to speak of conceiving the spiritual world and then having a comment about it? So that's what Prabhupada says. So the sane man, therefore, without being puffed up as if he were God of the universe, abides by the instructions of Vedic literature. Bhagavatam is describing this is the nature of the spiritual world. Let me accept it. Prabhupada writes in the 5th canto, forget about spiritual world, even in the material world also, you cannot measure the dimensions of all the mountains in the material world. Can you measure the depth of oceans? Can you measure the expanse of the forest and other things? You may attempt, it will take ages. So if you cannot conceive of the mountains and other paraphernalia within this material creation only, within this one small planet Earth only, what to speak of you conceiving the structure of Jambudvipa, the extent of Sumeru mountain which is golden, and all the other Shalmalidvipa, Plakshadvipa, and the universal islands, Bhumandala, and all the 7 oceans in the Bhumandala, 7 islands in the Bhumandala, Manasottara mountain, and sun's movements and orbits of other various planets. All this is the subject matter of 5th canto, 2nd half, Sthanam. So you cannot understand it, neither you can disprove it. So better you accept the descriptions of Bhagavatam as they are, because you have no ability to verify it and you have no ability to disprove it. Can you prove that what is mentioned in Bhagavatam is wrong? Then you have to say what is right. Do you have the faculty, do you have the ability to say what is right? So better accept it. And you don't have the ability to verify it also. Okay, Bhagavatam says the height of Sumeru mountain is 1 lakh yojanas. Let me go with my tape and measure it. Can you, where is it? Where can you reach there first, in the first place? Better accept. Bhagavatam says Jambudvipa has 9 varshas. Can you measure it? I think it may be 10. So let me go and measure. Where is Jambudvipa? Will you reach there? So that is what Prabhupada says. If you can't conceive of one small universe within this world, within this entire material creation where millions of universes are there, what is the possibility of you trying to understand the spiritual world with your tiny brain? So better accept the descriptions of Bhagavatam, keep trust and chant the holy names. And that holy name will take you to the spiritual world, which all your material faculties and then systems that you have created cannot help you doing that. If you see the creation chart, so there is one beautiful painting, right? Some design they made. So the whole structure of universe is shown here, and the spiritual world, Goloka and all the spiritual planets are also seen. And there is Durga here. You know that popular painting? Mm-hmm. Creation chart. In that there is one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra connecting this material universe to Goloka, Krishna's lotus feet. So this is complicated. To understand this whole creation is complicated. But to come out of this complicated creation is very easy. Very simple, not easy. It takes a lot of endeavor. So the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets are all Brahmabhuta living entities, as distinguished from the mundane creatures who are all compact in hankering and lamentation. The rope accepted as a snake may be an illusion to a particular person, but the rope is a fact, and snake is also a fact. Some people will say that this Srishti is only mithya. Brahma Satyan, Jagan Mithya, they say. One way is to get entangled in all the details of the material creation. Other thing is, other process is, other sampradaya, other school, is to say that it is all bogus. It is all not existent, it's mithya. What is the opposite of absolute truth, can anyone say? Absolute truth ka opposite kya?
Absolute.
Did I ask this question earlier?
Absolute false.
Relative truth. Someone will say absolute false. So Vaishnavas will say it is relative truth. So they will negate the word absolute to relative and retain the truth. Mayavadis will say, the Mayavadis will negate the truth part. They will make it false and keep the word absolute. Clear? It will be clear now. So, in the material world, there are material forms, material relationships, material friendships, material service. So many things are material here. So, in the spiritual world, there are spiritual forms, spiritual services, spiritual activities, spiritual relationships, right? So, that is the relative conception. In the material world, everything is material. In the spiritual world, everything is spiritual. Now, what do the Mayavadis say? In the material world, there are forms and there are relationships. There are mountains, there are houses, there are people, there is this, like that they will say. And in the spiritual world, nothing is there. Right? So here there is form, there is no form. Here there is activity, there is no activity. Here there is a relationship, there is no relationship there. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. And they say there is nothing there and that is truth. And there is everything here that is false. Just by hearing this analysis itself is so right, surprising, isn't it? They say there is everything here and opposite conception of this is spiritual world. And there is nothing there and that is true and this is false. But Vaishnava understanding is there is everything material here, material forms, material relationships and material activities. There is spiritual activities, spiritual relationships and spiritual services, spiritual entities, spiritual bodies, that way. So, the rope and this is the example mentioned. And one may search for water in desert. Sometimes the desert may seem like water entity, water body. But his understanding of that mirage to be water body is wrong, but there is water also and there is desert also, right? you cannot impose your misunderstanding on the truth. There is truth, and you misunderstood the truth, and you are imposing your misunderstanding upon the truth and saying Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Everything is Mithya. Sab Maya hai. Like that someone will say. But it's not so. Your understanding that this temporary material world is permanent is Maya. But this temporary world is not Maya. It is existing. It is an energy of the Lord. It is true. As much as spiritual world is true, material world is also true. But material world is temporary. What is illusory there? Your understanding that it is permanent is illusory. Okay. Therefore, the material creation of the Lord may be an illusion to the non-devotee. But to the devotee, even the material creation of the Lord is a fact as the manifestation of His external energy. And Lord has internal energy also, and that is described in this verse. Now, Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with transcendental qualities. Prabhupada elaborates in the next paragraph. See the last paragraph. The conclusion may be drawn that because of the complete absence of the mundane qualities of ignorance and passion, there is no question of creation or annihilation. Passion is not there, so no creation in the spiritual world. And ignorance is not there, so there is no destruction in the material world. And material sattva is not there, so there is no maintenance of material planets, but there is Vishuddha sattva, then there is maintenance of all spiritual dealings in the spiritual world. The whole material existence is manifested by actions and reactions of elements, which make the influence of time prominent in the matter of past, present and future. There are no such actions and reactions of cause and effects there. So the cycle of birth, growth, existence, transformations, deterioration, all the six material changes do not exist there. 11th verse. Shyama vadata shatapatra lochana pishanga vastra surucha supeshasha sarve chaturbhava unmishanmani praveka nishka bharana suvarchasa.
The inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets are described as having a glowing sky bluish complexion. Their eyes resembles lotus flowers. Their dress is of various color and their bodily features very attractive. They are just the age of growing youths. They all have four hands and they are all nicely decorated with pearl necklaces with ornamental medallions, and they are all appear to be effulgent.
Shyamavadataha. Their complexion is sky bluish. Avadataha means glowing. Shatapatra lochanaha. Shatapatra is lotus. Their eyes are like lotus petals. Pishanga vastraha. Their garments are yellowish. Suruchaha, supeshasaha. They are very attractive and they are very youthful. Sarve chaturbahava. Everyone is four-handed there. Unmishan mani praveka nishka bharanaha suvarchasaha. So their hands, they have four hands and raising luster, they are wearing mani, pearls, then praveka of very exquisite quality, not cheap plastic beads. They are wearing very costly Vaikuntha manis, right? So nishka abharanaha, ornamental medallions, which are suvarchasaha, very effulgent. So this is about the inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets. So the inhabitants in Vaikuntha Loka are all personalities with spiritual bodily features not to be found in the material world. You don't find anyone walking with four hands here, with all this kind of costly ornaments, with bluish complexion. That's only there. And more of the description of Vaikuntha Vasis you can get from 6th canto, 1st chapter. 3.15 also, definitely. 6.1 first chapter, Vishnu Duta's description is given when they come to protect Ajamil. As there are different bodily features in different places of particular planet, Similarly, bodily features of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka are completely different from those of material universe. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says sometimes they are red, black, green, white. And by worshipping the Lord with a particular complexion, devotees attain the same form of with similar complexion. Sometimes Lord also manifests in red form and green form like that, right? So by worshipping them, worshipping that Lord, these people also will get similar forms, complexions. Pravala vaidurya mrinala varchasa Parispurat kundala mauli malina.
Parispurat kundala mauli malina.
Some of them are effulgent like coral and diamonds in complexion and have garlands on their heads, blooming like flowers, and some wear earrings. This is called Sarupya Mukti, having similar form as the Lord. 13th verse. Bharajishnu bhiryaha parito virajate lasadvimana valibhirmahatmanam vidyotamanaha pramadottamadyubhi savidyuta abhravalibhiryathanabha
The Vaikuntha planets are also surrounded by various airplanes, all glowing and brilliantly situated. These airplanes belong to the great Mahatmas or devotees of the Lord. The ladies are as beautiful as lightning because of their celestial complexions, and all these combined together appear just like the sky decorated with both clouds and lightning.
Bhrajishnubhir yaha parito virajate, virajate, they are situated in the Vaikuntha Loka in a very resplendent manner. There is Vimana Valibhi, assemblies of Vimanas, so many Vimanas, multiple Vimanas, not one or two. In the third canto, 15th chapter also, when Brahmaji is seeing the Vaikuntha Loka here, in the third canto, 15th chapter, he will describe the Vaikuntha Loka. Vaimanika salalana charitani shashvat gayanti yatra shamalah kshapanani bhartuhu antarjalena vikasan madhumadhavinam gandhena khandita dhiyopyanilam kshupantaha. So, in the Vaikuntha Loka, there are Vaikuntha Vasis salalana, along with their consorts. The Vaikuntha Vasis are there in their airplanes, personal airplanes with their consorts. Salalana, Charitani Shashvat, and they do what? They don't just do sense gratification because they got a private airplane along with their consort. They glorify the activities of Vishnu. Vaimanika Salalana, Charitani Shashvat, Gayantri Yatra Shamala Kshapanani Bhurtuhu. Shamala, Lord is completely devoid of any material contamination. And all these devotees in Vaikuntha are accustomed to glorify the Lord perpetually. That is their sense gratification, to just glorify the Lord. Even when the sweet fragrance of Madhu Madhavi flowers from the water reservoirs of Vaikuntha enters their nostrils, Gandhena Khandita Diyopyanilam Kshupantaha, they consider it as a disturbance for their glorification of Krishna. Hey, this is glory, this is disturbing me. So let me not get distracted by this fragrance. Let me focus on the glorification of Krishna. Like that they focus. And another verse also comes in that canto only. That same chapter. Yat sankulam haripadanati matra drishtair vaidurya marakata hema mayair vimanair esham brahat kati tata smita shobhi mukhya krishnatmanam na raja adadhurutsmayadir. Yet sankalam haripadanati matra drishtair. All these Vaikuntha Vasis who are travelling in airplanes, their entire drishti, their focus is only on Lord's lotus feet, Lord Hari's lotus feet. Vaidurya marakata hema mayair vimanair. Their vimanas are made with hema, gold, bedecked with jewels like Vaidurya and Marakata. And esham brahat kati tata smita shobhi mukhyaha. And they are also accompanied by very exquisitely beautiful consorts who have large hips and then other attractive bodily features, and faces are always decorated with sweet smiles. But Krishnatmanam, they are totally absorbed in Krishna. So, na raja adadhurutsmayadir. The raja, the passionate desires to enjoy sense gratification will not even enter their minds. Although there is such pleasing ambience for sense gratification. So depending on the atmosphere, we develop desires, is it not? When you enter a vibrant temple hall where hundreds of people are chanting kirtan, Sharad Purnima Prabhu is leading kirtan with his harmonium and he is playing mridanga atmavidya, then when such vibrant kirtan is going on, you feel like just participating, and then just that vibrations will influence you once you enter atmosphere. Somebody will enter a fish market. If this person is in mode of goodness, he will be disgusted there. And if he is a meat eater, he will be go ecstatic there. Right? Depending on one's disposition, one will be influenced by the atmosphere. Right? So, here, these people are accompanied by such wonderful, such beautiful consorts with such wonderful facilities. They are in private airplanes. Hawame, nobody can watch you there. Right? If you are somewhere here, they can put a CC camera. But they are in private airplanes, there is no camera there. So they can do anything they want. But Krishnatmanam, they are totally absorbed in Krishna. So, na raja adadhurutsmayadhyer. What is the message that verse is giving? If one is Krishnatmanam, if one has that determination to serve Krishna, no unfavorable material circumstance can force him to do sense gratification. That's why bhakti is uninterrupted. What to speak of the ambience of Vaikuntha? All the beautiful ambience there is only meant for the pleasure of Vishnu, not for anyone else. Same thing is mentioned in this beautiful verse also. And these airplanes are not some driven machines somebody is controlling from there. If pilot does some mistake and the plane will crash, it's not like that. That will go by their mind. They're all spiritual airplanes. Because everything in the spiritual world is the same quality of having eternity, bliss and knowledge. Even the airplanes and carriages are of the same quality as Brahman. They're all spiritual. Even the weapons of the Lord are all of the same quality as Brahman. So 14th verse. Shriyatra Rupin Yurugaya Padayo Karotimanam Bahudhavi Bhutibi Prankham Shritaya Kusuma Karanugair Vigiyamana Priyakarma Gayati.
The goddess of fortune in her transcendental form is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet, and being moved by the black bees, followers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure, service to the Lord along with her constant companions, but is also engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities.
So we have seen the airplanes of Vaikuntha and inhabitants of Vaikuntha and their activities. Now this 14th verse is about the activities of Lakshmi there, Shri, goddess of fortune. Shri Ryatra Rupin Nyurugaya Padayohu. The Shri is the Swarupa Shakti of the Lord, and she is constantly glorifying Vishnu there. She is singing about the glories of her Lord. Again, in the 3rd canto of 12th chapter, 15th chapter, the activities of Shri are also mentioned. Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charanaravindam Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Doshaha Sammarjati Vasphatika Kudya Upeta Himni Samlalitena Yadanu Grahanena Yatnaha. So the activities of Mother Lakshmi are described like this. She would constantly broom the floors of Vaikuntha. They are already clean. So she takes up the cleanliness department of Vaikuntha, although the department has no activity. With her beautiful lotus-like hands, she takes jhadu and then cleans. For what? To get the anugraha, to get the merciful glance of Vishnu. Mother Lakshmi is cleaning the floors. Anugrahanena yatnaha, that is her endeavor to win the favor of Vishnu. So here it is described that she constantly glorifies the Supreme Lord, right? Being moved by the black bees. Lords, she also constantly serves the lotus feet of the Lord. Janudvaya jalajalochanaya jananya lakshmya akhilasya suravanditaya vidhatuhu. Janudvaya means Lord has these two janu scarves, the place between knees and the heels, that is called janu. So janudvaya jalajalochanaya jananya. Janani, that mother who has lotus eyes, jalajalochanaya jananya, that lotus-eyed mother of the entire universe, Mother Lakshmi, is constantly seen massaging the calves of Vishnu. Lakshmya akhilasya suravanditaya vidhatuhu. Akhila suravanditaya. All the demigods in different universes, they will come and offer obeisances to Mother Lakshmi to win a slight favor from Mother Lakshmi. And she is engaged in massaging the lotus feet of Vishnu. That is the glory of Vishnu. She is engaged in singing the glories of the Lord and also massaging his feet. Priya karma gayati. Vigiyamana priya karma gayati. So after describing the activities of Lakshmi, again he comes to the activities of Vishnu. That is 15th verse. Dadarsha tatra khilasat patam patim. Shriyaha patim yagna patim jagat patim. Sunandananda prabala arhanadibhi. Svaparshadarihi parisevitam vibhum. Dadarsha tatra khila sattvatam patim. Brahmaji dadarsha, he has seen the darshan of the Supreme Lord, who is akhila sattvatam patim. He is the leader of all devotees, sat devotees, sattvatas. And shriyahapatim, he is the lord of goddess of fortune. Then yajnapatim, he is the lord of sacrifice. Jagatpatim, he is the master of entire universe. So Lord is described as Sattvatampati, Shriyapati, Yajnapati and Jagatpati. Four descriptions. So what is he doing there? Sunanda Nanda Prabalarhanadibhi. The prominent associates of the Lord like Nanda and Sunanda and Prabala, they are doing arhan, worship of the Lord. And Svaparshadagraihi Parisevitum Vibhum. He is being served by the foremost of his associates, confidential associates. Okay. So Lord is always surrounded by his intimate associates, all engaged in service to him. In the 16th verse, Brahmaji describes the beauty of the Lord. Bhritya prasada bhimukham drugasavam. Prasannahasa runalochalananam. Kiritinam kundalinam chaturbhujam. Pitam sukam vakshasi lakshitam shriya. Bhritya prasada abhimukham. Bhritya prasada. Prasada is mercy. Abhimukham means being inclined to show that mercy. Unto whom? Bhritya, all the servants of the Lord. So Lord is always inclined to show his mercy upon his beloved devotees and servants. That's why he is called Bhritya Prasadabhimukham. He is always leaning favorably towards his devotees. So Indra created a lot of havoc in Vrindavan. And ultimately Krishna taught him a lesson and he forgave him. He did not kill him. Whatever he has done, he is my devotee. Bhritya Prasadabhimukham. Dirgasavam. Dirgasavam means Lord's beauty is so intoxicating that one whoever sees the beauty of the Lord is very pleased with that. It's intoxicating beauty. Dirgasavam. So any intoxicant is taken through one's tongue, mouth. But this intoxicant of Lord's beauty is taken through one's eyes. Dirgasavam. Intoxicant for the eyes. Third, prasanna hasaruna lochanollasan. His beautiful face is like lotus, and prasanna hasa, it is decorated with a very pleasant and pleasing smile. Aruna lochana, it is also decorated with beautiful lotus like eyes, right? They are reddish, aruna color. Fourth, Kiritinam Kundalinam. He is also wearing a crown and beautiful earrings. And this is not the description of Krishna. Krishna wears turban. He doesn't wear crown like Vishnu. This is a description of Vishnu, right? That's why there is crown, Kiritinam. For Krishna only Kundal comes, Kirita doesn't come. So Kiritinam Kundalinam Chaturbhujam. He has four hands. Then Pitam Sukam. He has yellow garment. Vakshasi Lakshitam Shriya. And also he is having the mark of Shri, goddess of fortune, on his Vakshasthala. So that is the beauty of Krishna. Tarunam Ramaniyangam Arunoshtekshanadharam Pranatashrayanam Ramnam Sharanam Sharanyam Karunaranavam. Narada Muni describes like this in front of Dhruva in the fourth canto. Tarunam Ramaniyangam. Lord is always youthful. Ramaniyangam means every limb of the Lord is perfectly formed. In this material world, somebody may be having a fat belly or very thin hands, fat legs, like that. Body may not be disproportionate. He's very tall, but he's very thin. Somebody is very short, but very stout. So like that, the proportion of different limbs of the body is not according to the sizes or according to the right measures of a person of that age. But Lord is always youthful and every limb of his body is perfectly formed according to that age. Tarunam Ramaniyangam Arunoshtekshanadharam. His eyes and lips are very reddish. Right. Next, Darshaniyatamam Shantam Mano Nayanavardhanam. He is the best object to see. Darshaniyatamam. There is Darshaniya, means worth seeing. Darshaniyatara is very much worth seeing. Darshaniyatama means there is nothing else which is more worth seeing than this object. That's why Lord is described as Darshaniyatama, the best of all objects to see. So Manonayana Vardhanam, when one sees the Lord, one's mind is enlivened, one's eyes are enlivened. So Prabhupada is writing in the purport, the Lord's palace is well decorated and protected by the doorkeepers, and Prabhupada gives the names of doorkeepers. 17th verse. This describes the Lord's energies. All these energies gives their darshan to Brahmaji in Brahma Vimohan Leela. Now in the beginning of creation also he is having darshan of those energies. Adhyarhani yasanam asthitam param vritam chatuhushyo adasa pancha shakti bhi yuktam bhagin bhagaihi swair itaratra chadruvaihi swaeva dhamam ramamanam ishwaram.
The Lord was seated on his throne and was surrounded by different energies like the 4, the 16, the 5 and the 6 natural opulences, along with their insignificant energies of the temporary character. But he was the factual Supreme Lord, enjoying his own abode.
So Lord is surrounded by his energies, and they give some numbers, namely 4. 4 is Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva and Ego. And Chakravarti Pada also says that it could be Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya and Vairagya. Shodasa, 16 elements. Pancha, 5, Shakti, energies. So all these 6 opulences and then 5 sense objects, overall 25. 4 plus 16 plus 5, how much? 25. So all these 25 energies of the Lord are surrounding the Lord. Okay. 4 is Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva and Ego. 16 are these 5 elements and 10 knowledge senses, 5 knowledge senses and 5 working senses and the mind. These are the 16 elements. And then 5 tanmatra, sense objects, namely form, taste, smell, sound, touch. These are 5. These are the 25 energies of the Lord. How do they look like? We don't know. But all of them, like probably personified, they are serving the Lord. So that is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. Living entity, by severe penance and performance of bodily exercises, can temporarily attain some wonderful power. But all these energies are with the Lord. Lord is always endowed with all these energies naturally. So he doesn't have to exert himself to be the possessor of all these energies. So no one can outsmart the Lord in his wealth or strength or mystic power or beauty or anything else. No one is equal to him, nor anyone is greater than him. So Trinavarta, he is a great demon. He has a lot of mystic powers. So he came in the form of whirlwind and picked up Krishna and then went 800,000 miles high in the sky. And Krishna became light like feather, so that the wind can lift him and then take him so high. But after he reached that altitude and gave darshan to all the heavenly denizens, Krishna increased his weight. He attained another siddhi. He exhibited another siddhi. Earlier he became light like feather. Later he became heavier than a mountain peak. Trinavarta could not bear that weight. And as it is natural for a small child, Krishna is like that. He retains that infancy mood. Krishna is like 1 year old baby only. So when you lift the baby, he will become little afraid and then he may catch you very tightly like this, right? So Krishna is acting like a small child and he caught the neck of Trinavarta very tightly and as if he is afraid. And he choked up Trinavarta. And he was hanging like a blue locket in the neck of Trinavarta. Trinavarta could not bear the weight of Krishna because he became like a mountain peak. Neither he could throw away. When you are lifting something, it's too heavy. You lift it, I can't handle it. You just drop it, right? So Trinavarta could not drop him also, throw him also, could not carry him also. He just fell down on a boulder and all his limbs got dislocated and he was liberated. So Trinavarta had a lot of mystic powers, but he could never outsmart Krishna. So when Krishna increased his weight, his siddhi of being heavier than the heaviest, Trinavarta could not handle it. Right? Trinavarta earlier thought that, hey, this baby is like lighter than feather. I can take him and I can eat him. But that did not happen. So, although the Lord is so great and no one is greater than him or equal to him, still out of his immensely charitable disposition, he can award some temporary powers to the yogis because of the yogis hankering after them. But to his devotees, unalloyed devotees, who do not want anything other than the Lord is so pleased that he gives himself in exchange of that unalloyed service. Oh, you are a devotee? I'll give myself to you. You are a yogi? You want some powers? Take a little. But you cannot outsmart my powers. So, Prabhupada says, these impersonalistic people or Mayavadis, they may claim that they have become God or they have become equal to God. But devotee, you know what is his fortune? He can become greater than God. Even if you take that argument of impersonalistic people that we can become God, but they cannot claim that they can become greater than God. Only Bhakta can say that. Yashoda Mai became greater than Krishna. She bound Krishna. All the universes are there within Krishna's belly, and Yashoda Mai bound all the universes. All the universes are under the control of Yashoda Mai. She became greater than Krishna. She became greater than everyone in the universe. Universes. So, by becoming a devotee, you can become greater than God also. That's not the aim of devotional service. And Prabhupada said that like that. But by following other paths, even if you imagine at the max, you can imagine to become God, but you cannot become greater than God. Evam sandarshita hyanga harina bhutya vashyata savashena api krishnena yasyedam sishwaram vashe. Krishna wanted to exhibit this quality of his, that is, I am bhutya vashyata, I am controlled by my devotees. Same thing Prabhupada is mentioning here. Because devotees don't know anything else other than Lord. Sadhavo hridayam mahim sadhunam hridayam toham. 18th verse. Taddarshana ahlada pariplutantaro Harishyattanuh prayama bharashru lochana Nanama padam bujamasya vishvasrik यत् पारमहंस्येन पद पथाधि गम्यते
Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart, and thus in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love. He thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahansa.
So, he had this darshan of Mahavaikuntha, and Brahma's reaction upon seeing that Vaikuntha is described in the 18th verse. Tad darshana ahlada pariplutantaro. He's overwhelmed with joy within his heart. Ahlada. So Bhagavatam often describes the reaction of devotees upon seeing the Lord, upon having the darshan of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj, when he saw the Lord, how he was reacting. Prahalad Maharaj, when he saw Narasimhadev. Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw the Supreme Lord, how he reacted. And so many other devotees are there who saw the Supreme Lord and got Chitraketu saw Lord Sankarsana. His ecstasy upon seeing the Lord also is very, very nicely described in the 6th canto, 15th or 16th chapter. So this is expressing his joy. So Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for persons completely freed of malice. So why Prabhupada is saying this? Because in the verse there is Paramahamsena, by the great liberated soul. That is the way of highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsa Samhita is Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyameka Mamalam Jnanam Param Giyate. So Paramahamsyam, it is understandable by great Paramahamsas. Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmya Mavishkritam Tachrinvan Supathan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyan Naraha. Like that in the 12th canto this verse comes, the glorification of Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is understandable by Paramahamsas. Unfortunately, persons with impious backgrounds do not believe in the personality of Godhead. This malicious nature of the conditioned soul continues even up to the stage when a person wants to be one with the Lord. So the Paramahamsa stage is attained by fixed practice of Bhakti Yoga. Next is, one should first with all conviction believe in the Lord Krishna, and without making efforts to realize him by speculative knowledge, speculative philosophy. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. We discussed this verse yesterday. Jnane prayasa mudapasya. Yeah. Same thing Prabhupada is writing here. Oh, Prabhupada quoted that verse also. Jnane prayasa mudapasya. Okay, that is the reaction of Brahmaji. 19th verse. Tam priya manam. Yes.
You see here that Brahmaji, when he saw Lord Narayana Vishnu in his Vaikuntha Kanda, right? Not in front, not in the front. Not face to face.
He got a vision of Vaikuntha.
Yeah, there he saw the Lord surrounded by his images. So here it is mentioned that he was surrounded by his images, like his material images basically, because all these components are of that material images, Maya. But Maya is said to be like she is behind the Lord, right? And what about his spiritual energies? Like the Lord is infinite energy. So why here basically it is made?
All the other paraphernalia of Vaikuntha is all spiritual only. Right in the beginning only it is mentioned very clearly. Everything he has seen, and Maya is also there because he has to create the material world very soon. So he got the vision of Maya also. Just like Vyasadeva before writing Bhagavatam, he got the vision of Maya and the Supreme Lord together. So this may not be parallel to what Brahmaji has done, Brahmaji has seen. But Lord is always endowed with all the 16 energies. Okay.
And it is said that just after having this vision of Lord, after performing his penance of all the 16 soldiers, Brahma, he recited Brahma Samhita. And Brahma Samhita, we can find a description of both of Vrindavan also. So, but here we can see that he is beholding Vaikuntha Panchami, not Goloka. Then, so we understand that he
had only the knowledge about Golok, or he actually visited Golok Vrindavan?
So Prabhupada also quotes Brahma Samhita in some of these contexts. But when exactly Brahma Samhita was recited and why that is not mentioned in Bhagavatam, so this we need to explore. Yeah, this question was asked earlier also. We need to really explore on it. When is Chatushloki spoken and when is Brahma Samhita spoken and all that. Okay, 19th verse. Lord started speaking. Lord invited Brahmaji to ask benedictions. Tam priyamanam samupasthitam kavim prajavisarge nija shasanarhanam babhasa ishat smitaso chishagira priyah piram priyam pritamanah kare sprishan.
And seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired. And thus, being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma and slightly smiling addressed him thus.
So, priyaha priyam pritamanaha kare sprishan. So, Lord is very pleased with Brahmaji. And he started shaking hands with Brahma, the original shake hand that happened right in the beginning of creation. Kare sprishan, handshake, shake hand. So, Lord is satisfied with him. In the purport, Prabhupada writes about the reclaiming program of the Lord. What is Brahma getting into now? To create this material world, to create all the planets and the bodies of living entities. That is basically an opportunity that Brahmaji is giving to all the living entities to perform devotional service. Now all these living entities, earlier they could not perfect their lives in the previous creation. They all merged into Vishnu's body. And now Brahmaji has to create their body so that they can again become active and then start functioning, right, with their material bodies and other paraphernalia. So now this time, if they utilize this opportunity of this creation, they can go back to Godhead, like that. So every creation is basically an opportunity given to the conditioned soul to rectify his rebellious mentality. So every creation is nothing but a reclaiming, re-reclaiming program of the Supreme Lord. The Lord Brahma has a great responsibility in delivering the conditioned souls, and therefore he is very dear to the Lord. The Lord is very much anxious to get back his parts and parcels, as stated in Gita. No one is more dear to the Lord than one who takes up the task of reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead. That is how important preaching is, the endeavor of preaching is. It's a reclaiming program. It's connecting the living entities back to bhakti, back to Bhagavan, through bhakti. Okay, when Lord is satisfied with the endeavors, he will shake hand with such devotees with great satisfaction. Now Lord is speaking to Brahma. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Tvayaham
Toshitaha
Samyak
Veda Garbha Shishrikshaya
Chirambhritena
Tapasa Dushtoshaha Kuta Yoginam.
The beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma, O Brahma, impregnate with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics.
Veda Garbha means one who is impregnated with the Vedas. The Vedic knowledge is imparted to Brahmaji right in the beginning. Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye. So, Sisrikshaya Chirambhritena Tapasa. Here the Lord is appreciating Brahmaji's tapasya for the purpose of Sisrikshaya, creation. You have done 1,000 celestial years of tapasya for the purpose of creating this world, and I am very happy with your endeavor. So Lord is happy with people who try try to assist him in reclaiming the rebellious souls, right? So Brahmaji's tapasya is meant for Sisrikshaya. So Lord is very happy with him and he's mentioning that. And final last line he says, Dushto Rahata Kota Yoginam. For Kota Yogis who are pseudo mystics, they also do some tapasya, but I'm not very much satisfied or pleased with them. They're Kota Yogis, pseudo mystic people. So there are two kinds of penance, one for sense gratification, one for self realization. To get their daily bread or to earn so much of money for sense gratification or fame and name and other things, people may endeavor so much, they do a lot of prayasa. That is tapasya for sense gratification. But there is another tapasya for self realization. Lord is pleased with that kind of tapasya. Prabhupada writes, by nature's own way, everyone has to meet death. And if such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction of the Lord. Some people will do so much of tapasya to create atom bomb, to create so many pistols and guns and weapons and other things. And they will drop those bombs in some place where so many people are living. Innocent people die. So there is a lot of tapasya and endeavor that was taken up by all these people who are creating these bombs and other things. But that tapasya is not very pleasing to the Lord. That is killing the people but not to reclaim the people. So Prabhupada writes like that. That's why Kota Yogi's tapasya, I am not very excited. So Bhakti Yogi's tapasya, I am excited. I am very happy. That's what is Lord said in the first verse. Second verse. Varam varaya bhadram te varesham mabhivanchitam brahman shreyah parishramah pumsa maddarshana vadhihi.
I wish you good luck. O Brahma, you may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction is the result of all penances is to see me by realization.
Varam varaya bhadram te. Please ask me any benediction. Whatever you want, I'll give. Varesham mabhivanchitam. So whatever you like, you should ask. Right? Don't hesitate to ask. Brahman shreyaha parishramaha pumsam maddarshanavadihi. So you may know that I have already given you that benediction. You may ask now any benediction, but understand that I have already given you benediction of darshan of my abode. So, to be able to see me, to realize me, to realize my abode is the greatest benediction, is the ultimate benediction. That is darshana avadhihi, the limit, the seema. The limit of all benedictions is to be able to see the Supreme Lord and then interact with Him. That you already got. Now you tell me what else you want. He says. So, the ultimate realization of Supreme Truth is knowing and seeing the Lord face to face. Realization of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma features are not ultimate realization purposes. Next. One more thing. If one has realized and seen the Supreme Lord, he attained the perfection of other things also. Other realizations are also included within the realizing Bhagavan. Impersonal Brahman realization is already there, Paramatma realization is already there. When you are interacting with the person, his effulgence is right there. Manishitanubhavoyam mamaloka avalokanam yadupasrutya rahasi chakartha paramam tapaha.
The highest professional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order.
So this is a continuation of 21st verse only. That is Manishita Anubhavoyam. Manishita means great intelligence, perfectional intelligence. So what is the perfection of that? To be able to see the Lord's abode. Right? Mama Loka Avalokanam. Avalokan means see. Mama Loka means Lord's Vaikuntha. To be able to see my abode is the perfection of all realization. You have seen it. All this is possible by your tapasya. And how did you do that tapasya? I inspired you to do this tapasya. Let's read 23rd verse. Then we'll discuss the next purport later. Pratyadishtam maya tatra
Tvayi karma vimohite
Tapo me hridayam sakshat Atmaham tapaso nagha. Now know from me that it was I who ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Right? Pratyadishtam maya tatra Tvayi karma vimohite. You are vimohite. You are bewildered about your karma. What am I supposed to do? So when we were in such bewilderment, tapu ame hridayam sakshat. I told you to do tapa. It's my instruction. Atmaham tapasonagha. Basically, he is not boasting only because of me you have done this. He is just informing him very intimately and confidentially that, yeah, it's because of me. I only inspired you. You are in confusion, who inspired you? Who said that tapa tapa? Only audio was coming, video was not there. So, what was happening at the time? I was inspiring you to do tapasya. So, what did Lord say so far? He said, I am pleased with you and I am not very much pleased with the endeavors of Kota Yogis, pseudo mystics. Then he says, you can ask me any benediction. And later he said, you already received the ultimate benediction of seeing my abode. And why did that happen? Because of your penance. And why did you do penance? Because I inspired you to do it. That is the flow so far. In the 22nd purport, Prabhupada writes, the highest perfectional stage of life is to know the Lord by actual perception by the grace of the Lord. This can be attained by everyone who is willing to discharge the act of devotional service as enjoined in scriptures that are standard and accepted by the bona fide acharyas. So Brahma exactly followed these principles without any superiority complex. Sometimes by following the scriptures and then doing tapasya also one may get superiority complex and may feel proud. But Brahmaji did it very humbly. So Lord gave him the darshan of his own abode. So everyone is falsely or factually proud of his so-called learning. But the Lord says that highest perfectional stage of learning is to know his abode devoid of illusion. So, are you actually learned? If you are actually learned, you can see the abode of the Lord. If you are not seeing the abode of the Lord, why are you becoming proud? That was the question. 23rd purport, Prabhupada writes that such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. So this penance that he has done, it's all about Lord's anugraha. One cannot enjoy material illusory prosperity if he desires to return back to Godhead. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy his temporary material happiness. So the permanent spiritual happiness is described in these pages of Bhagavatam, in this chapter, the description of Vaikuntha. But one is not attracted by that, but he is allured by material enjoyment. Then, such a foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance. Prabhupada also brings out another point here. If someone is so attached to material enjoyment and still wants to do some devotional service, he is doing bhakti, but he is attached to material comforts. So towards such a devotee, Lord will act in a very intelligent and smart way. He will fulfill the material desires of such a devotee in such a way that he does not desire on a material plane anymore. He will apparently fulfill his material desires, but he will take away the taste for that material enjoyment. Dhruva wanted material position. I want to be superior to Brahmaji's position also. Lord gave that position, Lord gave that Dhruva planet, and he took away the taste in Dhruva. Dhruva is feeling, why did he desire for it? Even if I get it, what will I do? You wanted Rasmalai, and I give you Rasmalai, and you have no taste for it. Your taste is taken away. Just now you ate a full feast up to here or here with so many other items, and then although your favorite item comes, you have no taste to eat it anymore. So Lord will fill the heart of such a devotee with spiritual satisfaction that he gives up his desire to enjoy any material plane anymore. So what is the use of such a material benediction? So Dhruva did not enjoy. He was saying that I got broken pieces of glass, although he got what he desired. That's how Lord very intelligently takes up the cases of such devotees who have some material aspirations. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or by being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. So sometimes Lord forces. For example, in the case of Avanti Brahman, Lord just took away all his wealth and other things, and all the people like his friends and relatives abandoned him. So he had to forcefully abandon all his material paraphernalia and take shelter of the Supreme Lord. The situations became so unfavorable for his material enjoyment that they became favorable for taking shelter of the Lord. That's how Avanti Brahman was delivered. So Lord has his own tricks to play. So here Brahmaji was sinless. Therefore, only by love and penance combined can please the Lord. And thus one is able to attain his complete mercy. 24th, last verse for today. Srijami tapasai vedam grasami tapasa punaha bibharmi tapasa vishvam viryam me duscharam tapaha. So here the Lord is glorifying tapa. Srijami tapasai vedam, I create by tapasya. Grasami tapasa, I withdraw this creation by tapasya only. Punaha, then Brahmami tapasa vishvam, by tapasya only I maintain this universe. Viryam me duscharam tapaha, all my potency is also because of penance only. Why Lord is glorifying tapasya so much? Purport is brilliant. Let's get into that. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord also does tapa because he renounces material enjoyment, being the master of Lajini Shakti. From his detachment arises his ability to create, maintain and destroy. So why, how come the Lord is doing tapasya? So what is tapasya? Staying away from material enjoyment in one sense. But Lord never enjoys any material plane at all. That means he is doing the supreme tapasya. Now lunch comes at 1 o'clock and then you are not taking lunch. That is tapasya. But Lord has no inclination only to take any lunch or any other enjoyment on a material plane. That means he is doing supreme tapasya in that sense. He is renounced from material enjoyment. So that is considered tapasya. And from that ability to renounce material plane, he can create, maintain and destroy. This is what Chakravarti was explaining. Now let's see what Prabhupada says. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead. An easy-going life and attainment of perfection and in transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in his devotional service. The order is received from the Lord either directly or through spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. So tapasya here means taking some inconvenience voluntarily for one's own deliverance, and that is very dear to the Lord. So he is taking some pain to come back to me. So let me take him. He is very happy with that tapasya done by the devotees. And that's why tapasya is very dear to the Lord. So Chakravarti Pada says, Lord himself is also doing tapa. Prabhupada explains that the tapa done by devotees in various activities is very dear to the Lord. Ultimately, they are taking pain to come back to the spiritual world. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.